نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم اما بعد. We begin with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the King of all kings, the Master of all masters, and we send salat and salam, salutations upon him. Salat and salam upon Imam al-Anbiya, Sayyid al-Rusul, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, once again, to the grace and fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have gathered here for our annual Hajj seminar. Just very briefly, just a couple of minutes, alhamdulillah, just to congratulate the brothers. Those brothers who have been accepted to go on this blessed journey, they are very blessed and very fortunate. Not everyone gets this opportunity, not everyone gets this blessing, especially in this day and age. So many fadail have been mentioned in the ahadith for that person who goes for Hajj. Very briefly, Al-Hajj al-Mabrur, laysa lahu jazan illa al-Jannah, that a person who performs Hajj correctly, so an accepted Hajj, the only reward for an accepted Hajj is Jannah. Another hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ, mentions, man hajja falam yarfus walam yafsuq raja'aka yawmin waradatuhu ummu. That person who goes for Hajj, he did not do anything which does not befit a Haji, he does not commit any sin, then when he returns as if the day his mother gave birth to him, meaning free from sin. Another narration, it comes, Rasulullah ﷺ, he mentions that tabi'u bayn al-hajj wal-umrah, that keep on going for Hajj and Umrah. فَإِنَّهُمَا يَنْفِيَانِ الْفَقْرَ وَالذُّنُوبِ كَمَا يَنْفِي الْكِيرُ خَبَثَ الْحَدِيدِ وَالذَّهَبُ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. So especially in this day and age, when we see Hajj packages, they're costing many thousands. And many people, they delay Hajj after this fear that I need to pay for this, I need to pay for this. And shaitan, he puts these wasawis and whispers in our minds that I need to buy a house, I need to do this, I need to do this. Inshallah, at a later date, and it costs so much, how can I go? So Rasulullah ﷺ, he mentioned that go for Hajj and Umrah perpetually because they get rid of poverty and sins, just how when a blacksmith, he puts iron into the fire in order to get rid of the dirt. Similarly, Hajj and Umrah, they get rid of poverty and sins from a person's life. So we should have that tawakkul and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whatever you spend, you know, this is going in the bank of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more you spend, the more reward you will get. And most definitely, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save you from poverty and those things that shaitan, he's making you afraid of. The last hadith, Rasulullah he mentions that al-hujjaj wal-ummar wafdullah, that those people who go for Hajj and those people who go for Umrah, they are the mihman, they are guests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Da'ahum fa'ajabuhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them. He has called every single one of us. But for ajabuhu, only the specific few give and answer this call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So da'ahum fa'ajabuhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them. They accepted the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasa'aluhu fa'atahum. So when they go and they ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah makes it a must upon himself to answer their du'as. So very blessed are those few who are given this opportunity. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts your Hajj and he takes you time and time again. Inshallah, just to kick off today's program, we have, alhamdulillah, Brother Junaid Chapti amongst us, inshallah, to get you in the mood and to create that shock to go for Hajj, inshallah, he will just present a nasheed. Brother Junaid.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First and foremost, I'd like to add as well, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of your Hajj, and please remember the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the du'as, and be greedy when you are making du'as. Also remember myself and my family also in your du'as, inshallah ta'ala. Durus Sharif, inshallah.
لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. Here I am, O Allah, to answer your call. Here I am in your presence on this journey of love. Here I am on this journey of faith, on this journey of a lifetime, this journey for you. Here I am, fulfilling the fifth pillar of Islam. Here I am, proclaiming the oneness of my Lord. Here I am, praising you, obeying your command. Here I am, O Allah, labbaik ya Rabb. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. Here I am, invited to the house of Allah in Ihram, performing tawaf round the Kaaba. Here I am, prostrating then drinking zamzam. Here I am, supplicating at the multazam. Here I am, reenacting the walk of Hajra, step by step, back and forth from Safa to Marwa, trimming hair, shave my head in obedience to you. Here I am, O Allah, labbaik ya Rabb. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. Moving on, performing Hajj, staying in Mina, next we glorify, cry, repent to Allah on the day of mercy, pleading on the plains of Arafah, sleeping under the stars in the dust of Muzdalifah. Here I am, finding pebbles to throw at Shaitan, stoning him, 1, 2, 3, removing his command, slaughter sheep in memory of Ibrahim, shave my head and ihram and leave for Mecca. Here I am, here I am, Allah. Here I am, here I am in Mecca. Here I am, here I am, Allah. Here I am, fatawaf ziyara. يا الله حجا مبرورا سعيا مشكورا ذنبا مغفورا تجارة لن تبور حجا مبرورا سعيا مشكورا ذنبا مغفورا تجارة لن تبور. لبيك وسعديك إله الحق لبيك 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 لبيك.
إن شاء الله سبحان الله. As I was reciting that nasheed, I was actually reminiscing of the time when I was doing my Hajj in Mina and going to Arafat and Muzdalifah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to witness and experience that joyous occasion again and again. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to have this zeal of going to the blessed lands regularly, rather than going on holidays to different countries and just having enjoyment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us connected close to the blessed lands of the Haramain Sharafain. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow all of the brothers here to utilize, and the sisters, to utilize their time properly, because this is the best journey that you will go on. SubhanAllah, this nasheed I wrote because it was an experience of my journey when I went to Hajj as well. And when you're there, inshallah, big labbaiks and respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all afia, ease, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you barakah, happiness and success in your health, wealth, time and iman. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum. Tura aage aajo yaar, come front, too far away. You're going to struggle to see the presentation from that far back. Plenty of room. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد welcome to all the sathis the brothers the sisters alhamdulillah allah pak's given us the opportunity once again to teach such an important pillar of islam just to give you the brief breakdown for today alhamdulillah the presentation has been split up into various components. Each speaker will come inshallah and hopefully do their bit. Some small IT delays, so I'm going to cut mine a little bit short at the beginning, my introduction, but not to worry because I'll build it in inshallah as we go along. A few things just to mention right at the beginning that it's probably better if I stand up. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with reference to Hajj and Umrah, He mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ كَيْ وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ لِلَّهِ That what we are doing is we're completing the Hajj and Umrah for Allah's sake. Now, Allah's sake is often just words that slip off the tongue, but inshallah, if Allah Pak blesses us with a true understanding of what do we mean by doing something for the sake of Allah. So first and foremost, reminder to myself, whether we are teaching Hajj, whether we are learning Hajj, even before we're going for Hajj, okay, that we are starting this journey, not simply because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with enough wealth to pay for a nusuk package or otherwise, but because we genuinely want to mend our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that, if we forget that point at any point during Hajj, then we'll probably lose more than what we have gained. Okay. In terms of the fada'il, Hazrat Mufti Luqman Sahib, mashallah, he's covered some of the virtues, so I don't necessarily need to go into that. But what I do want to mention just for 5 minutes is where you fit into the legacy of the prophets and the mankind. Okay. You meaning people that are going for Hajj. So, without giving lots of history lessons, who was the first person on earth to build the Kaaba? Anybody know? I ask in you so I get a break. Anybody know who was the first person to build the Kaabatullah Sharif? Adam alayhi salam, yeah? MashaAllah. So, Adam alayhi salam, it's mentioned in the kitabs that Adam alayhi salam, because he had a long life, he actually did 300 Hajj and 700 Umrahs. Okay. But when he finished his first Hajj, it's mentioned in the narration, when he finished his first Hajj, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the reward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, of course, you're my Nabi, that I've forgiven you. But by extension, anyone who enters my house, okay, and does tawbah in the way you have done tawbah, inshallah, until the day of judgment, that person will be forgiven too. Moving on, again, prophets later, Nuh alayhi salam, the problems in the ummah, the floods came, the foundations of the Kaabatullah Sharif were flooded like the rest of the world. Then, as my dear friend Junaid Bhai Chapti was reciting, that Ibrahim alayhi salam, okay, again, these are, when we mention the major prophets, okay, ulul azmi mina rusul, okay, of course, all prophets have a status, but these prophets, they have an utmost special status. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was the one in the Quran Kareem who was sammakumul muslimin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, we call each other Muslims, okay, that he, obviously, Iman, Islam existed since the beginning, but in terms of who was Sammakumul, this ism, this name that we use, and we look at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, he teaches us one of the foremost objectives of Hajj, okay, which is what? Utter and utmost submission. Regardless of what we think, regardless of what we want, okay, utter and utmost submission. In the same way that you, brothers and sisters, will be leaving your children behind, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command, Ibrahim alayhi salam also left his children behind. What's mentioned in the Quran Kareem, Rabbana inni askantu min durriyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar. When Ibrahim alayhi salam was commanded to leave Hazrat Hajar and Ali and Ismail alayhi salam in the desert sand, he did so. Okay, he did so. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was tested, when Ibrahim alayhi salam was tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through many, many trials and tribulations, what did he say? إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, أَسْلِمْ, okay, submit. And what did Ibrahim alayhi salam replied? قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, that I have submitted for the sake, for the Lord of the worlds, okay. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he with his son Ismail alayhi salam resurrected the foundations of the Ka'batullah Sharif, the Quran Pak mentions that he was told, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالٍ وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. He was told to make a call, okay? He was told to make a call for people to come from all quarters of the globe to complete this Umrah, this Hajj. And when we recite our labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, okay, that the ulama mentioned that that is the response that our souls gave to the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is now coming to fruition. So moving finally on, just to complete the circle, we had Adam alayhi salam at the beginning, Ibrahim alayhi salam during the middle, and then finally we had the Sayyidul Mursaleen, the best of prophets, okay, the most virtuous of prophets, Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was, as you know, the guide for mankind until the Day of Judgment. And he himself claimed to be from the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And as followers of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you and me are fulfilling the legacy of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because Hajj and Umrah done contrary to the Sunnah, okay, is not what we are here for. We're here to learn, inshallah, the proper method. And finally, when I grab the mic, sometimes I like to throw in something which is very, very important, is perhaps missing nowadays, is that we really need to understand some of the deeper secrets and the wisdoms behind Hajj. Because often the hardest thing in Hajj is the mindset. If you have the right mindset, you will be able to do your Hajj, learn about your Hajj, face your trials. And if you don't, then that will be very, very difficult. So we move on, and just maybe finishing on this slide before I pass over to Fazl Mama. I was going to originally take it all the way to Makkatul Mukarrama, but because we've lost a bit of time, Fazl Mama will hopefully go through, starting from putting on your ihram through the airport and go through the Umrah Tartib, inshallah. Fazl Mama, ready, Cho? 2 minutes, yeah? Ajay, I'm betting. Wahan khada hona, khade ho jai, mic level. Yeah, put the mic on, connect it, connect karo. So, wo wala bhi istamal kar le. Yeah. Theek hai, no problem. So on this slide, again, we'll send these out afterwards. The status, Mawlana Rukman Sahib has already mentioned, Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Hujjaj wal-Umar wafdullahi. Okay? You guys are a delegation on behalf of the United Kingdom, on behalf of mankind. Okay, you're chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In da'uhum ajabahum in istaghfiruhu khawra lahum. That your du'as, if you ask them on our behalf, inshallah, they will be forgiven. I mean, I suppose nowadays, we always look for, you know, royal pardons. You may remember a few months ago, they were seeking a Joe Biden's pardon for Afia Siddiqui, which unfortunately was unsuccessful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a better method, yeah? So when we get a big, you know, when we get a big safarish, or we get a big pardon, or we get a knighthood or something that gives us some sort of accolade, diplomatic immunity, we feel, you know, we feel kya kehte hain, as a, we have a good status in this world. But what's the pardon of a haji? Okay, the books mention that a haji can intercede on the day of judgment for up to 400 of his family members to save them from the fire of Jahannam. That's your value sitting here. And finally, because we started with intention, when it comes to intention is something that we need to maintain at every time, not just now, not just when we're there, but also when we return, okay? We're not here to boast about, you know, we had X amount of package, or we managed to do X or X facilities, okay? Unless there's a need for us to disclose something to encourage others. It's even better sometimes to hide our good actions. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hajja Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala rahlin rathin wa alayhi qatifa. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he did his Hajj, he mounted his camel on a shabby, with a shabby saddle. There's the cloth that you put on or underneath the saddle. Tusawi arba'ata darahim. It probably wouldn't even be worth 5-10 pounds today. But what did he say? Allahumma ja'alhu hajjan la riya'an fihi wa la sum'ah. Ya Allah, make this a Hajj where there's no showing off, okay? There's no fame. That is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So before we pass the mic to Fazil Mama, just some advice. You guys will be given packs today, okay? Many of you have already been to many Hajj programs. Allah Pak reward you. Take one book and just read it time and time again. Try not to read too many books because you might get confused. One book, this is the one that will be inside your pack if you want to choose to use it, alhamdulillah. Also make sure in your packs or yourself you have a dua book. Any time during Hajj where you know it's a time for dua or you're not doing anything, have something where you can open so you're not wasting your time, okay? And finally, which I mentioned probably at the end, it's always good to have genuinely have a book that shows you how the pious people of the Ummah did Hajj. What were they thinking? What were they saying? What they were doing, inshallah. And finally, in terms of the three types of Hajj that you're now seeing on the screen, because we're going to start off with Umrah, we will follow the format of Hajj Tamattu, which is in red in the middle. So again, there's three types of Hajj. Two of them involve doing Umrah first. The Hajj Tamattu is if you do Umrah and then you come out of Ihram and you stick around either in Makkatul Mukarramah or if you want to go to Medina Munawwara in between, but you're outside the state of Ihram having done Umrah before Hajj. That is Hajj Tamattu. Okay, so we're going to treat you all as tomatoes today. And if some of you have made the intention that you're going to do Hajj Qiran, again, you'll start with Umrah, but you will not come out the state of Ihram. You will stay in the state of Ihram until the days of Hajj begin. And finally, especially for those going perhaps lastminute.com or is Hajj Ifrad, where you don't start with Umrah, you essentially do a Sunnah Tawaf if you can, and then you would head straight to Mina or Arafah, depending on your schedule. So we're going to follow the tatib of Hajj Tamattu. I'm going to pass over to Fazil Mama, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, I think we've rescued a bit of time. So in half an hour, hopefully, he will go through the whole concept of Ihram, putting on the Ihram, coming to the Masjid, and then performing the Umrah. Fazil Mama, Haruchi, Bismillah. Mic, chalo, take you.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, brothers, we have to prepare ourselves from home, okay? And those brothers who are leaving from here, make sure you take at least 2 or 3 passport copy of yours, your visas, at least 2 or 3, and also take 2 photographs with you. And if you got your meningitis certificate, take that with you. Those brothers whose qurbani is not included in your package, take enough money from here for your qurbani as well. Okay, and inshallah, Mufti Sahib will explain as we go in along. You have to do 1 qurbani, which we do every year here, and 1 qurbani for our Hajj when we go for Hajj. Okay, and take enough money. Anybody who's going from here, if they have diabetes, blood pressure, take your regular tablets from here as well, medicine. And also take Vaseline, Miswak, and 7-bead tasbih, put it in your money belt. Take 2 carrier bags in your hand luggage. Take also 1 bin bag in your hand luggage. Take a pair of slippers in your hand luggage. 2 or 3 pairs of clothes. This is all in your hand luggage which will fit. Also, you take your 2 slippers as well in your hand luggage. Now we are all prepared to leave for the airport. When we leave for the airport, some of you brothers will be going from Manchester, London, or from Europe airport or any other airports. But do not put on your ihram until you get your boarding pass and you know that your flight is on time. So if the flight has been delayed due to the present situation at the moment, then you will end up putting your ihram on, and also you'll probably end up with ihram on for so many hours. Okay? I was just going in India only just before Ramadan, and my flight was delayed and delayed and delayed, and we had to stay at a hotel for nearly 17, 18 hours, brothers. So be careful. Now, you've got all our packages. This is all in the hand luggage. Your suitcase, you take it with you as well. And then we'll give you a list of things, what to take from here as well. At the end, we've got list. We've also got it on the program as well, inshallah, which, you know, which we'll show you. Now, when we're going from here, we will put on our ihram. But before we put on our ihram, go and do your wudu in the toilet, in the ordinary clothes. Because when you doing your wudu, you will not be able to lift, you will not be able to comfortably lift your leg and washing your feet. Now, inshallah, we will go from here, put on the ihram, whichever the airport we are going from. If some of you is going direct to Jeddah from here and going to Makkah, only if you're going to Makkah, then you put on your ihram. If you're coming from Medina, then you will put on your ihram from Medina, those brothers who are going from Medina first. Okay? Now,
just before Fazal Mama is putting on his ihram, remember, ihram sometimes you refer to the sheets as ihram. So when he gave the advice that delay your ihram, what he meant was delay the intention of your ihram, okay? As Fazal Mama will go on, the clothes, they don't mean much in terms of the state of ihram. Of course, this is sunnah, that's what we wear. But the words of intention and labbaik combined, okay? And intention and labbaik combined put you into the state of ihram, which you may wish to delay when you know the plane has taken off. But I'll pass it back to Fazal Mama, inshallah, who will go through the technique or one technique of wearing the ihram sheets.
Yeah, there's approximately 3 to 4 ways you can put it on. You can hold the two pieces like this and then hold it tight from here, fold it and fold it again. The other way is you can go like this and just keep rolling it. Yes, but the way I prefer is easy, and also it will cover your sutra and body and everything. Spread your feet out. If you don't spread your feet, then what you're going to do, you're going to walk like this. Yeah, and then if you right or left, it's entirely up to you. Take one corner and cover both your legs, but this corner is very, very important, brothers. Put it on top. Don't leave it underneath, because if your ihram gets loose, what's going to happen? Your ihram is going to come out. Yes? So you put it on top here. Hold it like this tight. Hold it tight again. And then just keep on going top. The reason is, if you have a look at the bottom, it's nice and level at the bottom. So when you go to the toilet, it's not dragging on the floor if the floor is wet. And then slowly, just go one or two folds. It's entirely up to you how you do it. Then you put on your money belt. In the money belt, from home, you know, put your miswak in, your 7-bit tasbih. You know, all these literature here is all for you, brothers, here, free of charge. Take it to your ladies as well, okay? And the 7-bit tasbih, kitabs, everything you have here, take with you when the program is finished, inshallah. You put on your money belt. When you put on your money belt, you actually cover your money belt at the back as well, right? And then it's entirely up to you. The more folds you will do, it will become tighter and tighter, okay? You've got all your stuff in your money belt here, alhamdulillah. Now, this piece, a lot of people get mixed up, but it's so easy if you concentrate, brothers. Okay, again, what you do, the top piece is very, very easy. Depending on if you're a righty or lefty, it's entirely up to you which corner you actually put it in. Go at least 3/4 of the way, so most of the body is covered. Then this one, don't leave it like this, yeah? All creased up. Let it loose like this. Make sure it's nicely opened up. Grab hold of this corner at the end, and then just throw it over your shoulder, right at the back. And then when you've got the corner, you just tuck it at the back. So you are nicely covered. But remember one thing, brothers, for all the men, they have to make sure that shutter is completely covered. And the bottom piece of ihram must be at least 4 fingers above your belly button. Make sure of that, because you will see a lot of people there. They don't know how to cover their sutr and so on. Now we are in ihram now. We're going to teach you according to the Imam of Hanafi Maslak. Safi, it doesn't matter. You can pray your 2 rakat salah anytime, as you know. Okay. Now, but the Umrah tartib is exactly the same for all the imams. Now, when you, if you have the, those who are following the Hanafi imam, between Fajr and Israq time, you are not allowed to pray 2 rakat nafil namaz. Also, same with Asr and Maghrib. If you're outside these times, then you pray 2 rakat salah when you've done your wudu, facing towards Qibla, and it's sunnah to pray Qul Yahu Kafirun in the first rakat and Qul Hullah in the second rakat. Then we sit down in a tahiyat towards Qibla, obviously. What we do, we finish Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Straight away, take your cup off. Until you finish your umrah, you don't put your cup on at all. And then you make intention, Ya Allah, I'm making an intention to perform Umrah, make it easy for me, accept it for me. And then you pray Labbaik 3 times on your shoulder, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik La Sharika Laka Labbaik, Inna Alhamda Wa Ni'mata Laka Wal Mulk La Sharika Lak. Now you make dua and we are fully in ihram. When we are fully in ihram, then all the terms and conditions between husband and wife applies as they apply in while we are fasting during Ramadan or during other times. We must not look at other ladies or, you know, the opposite sex with lustful eyes as well. Okay. Now there's lot of terms and conditions while you're in ihram. No soap, no shampoo, no toothpaste, which is all Alhamdulillah brothers have prepared everything with the do's and don'ts. So if you go through it, it's also in the kitabs as well. So remember this. And you're not allowed to kill any flies or nothing. And it's only 2 pieces of ihram we wear. We finished our program in Al-Falah Masjid 2 weeks ago, and one brother came up to me and said, oh, you know, do we only have to wear ihram, any underwear? I said, no, nothing at all. Only the 2 pieces of ihram, as though we are in kafan. Now we are fully in ihram. Now there are 2 faraz for ihram. One is to come into ihram, make intention, and pray a talbiyah labbaik. That's one. And the second one is when we do the tawaf. And then there are 2 wajib. One wajib is to do Safa Marwa Sa'i, and the second one is to shave your hair. Okay? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given 3 duas to the person who's going to shave his hair completely, and 1 dua for the person who's going to shave 1/4 of his hair. Now, inshallah, from the airport, we pray Labbaik as much as possible. Yes, you've got your hand luggage. At the airport, they will give you a lanyard. If not, your mawlim will give it to you in the hotel, wherever. Now, when you, inshallah, from Jeddah airport, they will take you to your hotel. And what you do, be patient at the hotel. Make sure that you take your luggage in your rooms. Yes, make sure you've got it out from the coach as well. Because some brothers, they say, oh, other brothers will get it, and their luggage was gone in the coach. So it's up to you to make sure that your luggage is actually, you know, with you at all time. Hand luggage, brothers, what I do now, because I've learned my lesson previous, in, you know, years ago, you keep it with you, even in the flight, in the coach, everywhere. Keep it with you, near you, your hand luggage. Make sure all your valuables, your money, everything is in there. If you want to take cash from here, I prefer that you take some cash from here as well. And if you want to take a debit card from here, you can take Monzo or Sterling. It's entirely up to you. But some of the shop or small people, they will not take, they haven't got machines for the card. So if you want to buy anything, it's best if you take some cash with you as well. Now, inshallah, we will go to our hotel in Makkah. You got your visa paper. Make sure you carry that with you 24/7 while you're in Makkah, Medina, Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah. That is your ihkama. If the police sees you without it, they will put you inside. So remember this, brothers. I know of people who've been put inside. Yes? Now, you'll have your lanyard as well, the ID, identification card. So make sure you carry that with you at all times as well while you're in. Inshallah, from the hotel, you on your visa paper, you take the hotel address card. And then you clip it on the hotel address card. So if you get lost in Makkah or Medina, then at least you can show it to somebody and they will guide you to your hotel. Inshallah, from our hotel, at your own time, it depends what time, whatever. If those brothers have been before, they know what time to go. But we actually advise people here to go after Fajr or after Isha if you can. Okay? Now, but don't delay more than 12 hours while you're there in the hotel. Try and do your Umrah as soon as you can, inshallah. Mufti Sahib will explain as we're going along. Now, from the hotel, we pray Labbaik as much as possible, and there are over 100 doors in the actual Haram Sharif, Baitullah Sharif, when we go inside. Remember which door number you are actually going through. When you've gone through whichever the door, let's say you've gone through number 96, okay? And then you will go inside the Haram, keep your gazes down by praying Labbaik as much as possible. And then as soon as you see Baitullah Sharif, you stop praying. You stop praying Labbaik. Go on one side where not too many people are going in and out, and then you make dua. The first time you see Kaaba, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts duas. There are 15 places in Makkah your duas are accepted, which is Hazrat Aswad, Maqam Ibrahim, Zamzam, Hatim, Mizab-e Rehmat, Multazam, Safa, Marwa, Mina, Arafat, Muzdalfa, and when you pelt in the Satan. Yes? So there are 15 places where your duas are accepted. So when you see your Kaaba first time, you make dua, inshallah. When you, after finishing your dua, yes, what you do? You do three things. One is istiba, three eyes, remember brother. You do istiba only for men, not ladies. Ladies can wear any clothes they want, okay, any type of, the only thing they will wear is a cap and just cover their face if they are in hijab. Now, inshallah, from here, we are inside the Haram, we've made our dua. You look out for the green light. There's a green light there on our masjid as well. But the one in Kaaba is massive. It's at least one to one and a half meter long. So you look out for the green light. That's where Hazrat Aswad is. And then this is what I say to people. Wait, watch and observe. Don't jump into the crowd. If there's too much crowd, you go on the outer circle or even on the inside of the Haram and find the green light or Hazrat Aswad. Now, when you go on to Hazrat Aswad, we've done our istiba already, yes? Then we go in front of Hazrat Aswad. Find a suitable place wherever you are, go to the outer circle, and then you make intention, Ya Allah, I'm performing Umrah Tawaf, make it easy for me and accept it for me. And then you go, Bismillah, Ya Allah, Akbar. Some people do it once, some people will do it three times, it's entirely up to you. Then you go, Bismillah, Ya Allah, Akbar, Walillahil Hamd. You kiss your hand slowly, and then you start doing your Tawaf. Only for the men folk, they will do Ramal, what is, you know, just for the three circuits only. If you forget in the first circuit, then you do it, start from the second or the third. If you forget to do it in all three circuits, then you don't do it from the fourth. Wudu is a must when you are doing Tawaf. So if you break your wudu, go back, do your wudu, and then come back again. Okay. And then when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with the Sahabas to do the Umrah, the Kuffar was taunting them that look at them, they are skinny and they are weak. How are they going to do the Umrah? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahabas that show them we are not weak. Pull our chest out and walk, you know, faster like this. So, and then make sure you're not, obviously there's too many crowd there, you're not giving any taklif or you're not pushing anybody. If not, just pretend that you are walking fast. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-aliyyil azim. You'll be able to pray it maybe 80 times, 100 times, depending on how, you know. But one of the elders told me that rather than doing 10 quick tawafs, do one which is absolutely acceptable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants quality, not quantity. Okay? Then you'll come to Rukme Yamani here. From Rukme Yamani you will see loads of people praying, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azabannar wa adkhilna al-jannata ma'al abrar. Then you'll come to your Hazrat Aswad. Now we don't look at Hazrat Aswad or we don't look at Baitullah Sharif while we're doing all our tawafs. Just or face our chest towards Kaaba. We just go like this sideways, Bismillah Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. And then we finish our second, let's say this is our third now, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-azim. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi Alhamd. We're on the fourth now. Slowly, slowly, you can pray your third kalima or whatever you want to pray. You know, whichever the du'as you want to pray, that's entirely up to you. And Subhanallah, walhamdulillahi, wa la ilaha illallah, wa Allahu Akbar, wa la khawla, wa la quwwata illa billahi. La ilaha Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan fil akhirati hasanatan. We're on the seventh now. Let's say we finish our seventh circuit. Now, brothers, don't forget to do your eighth istilam. It's like having a walking race. And if you don't go over the finish line, what happens? You've not finished your umrah. Yes? So just cross over maybe one or two steps or one or two meters. And then now you can face on your eighth istilam, you can actually face towards Hazrat Aswad as well. Bismillahi Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. And then he says in the kitab, the two rakat namaz, salah, you have to pray, whether it's nafil tawaf, whether it's umrah tawaf, or whether it's tawaf ijarat. After every tawaf we do, we have to pray the two rakat salah, which is wajib. Okay? Now, there is Zamzam right at the back. They've got taps now. The well has been closed years and years ago. So you go to Zamzam, you know, you drink Zamzam, and you can see Multazam, Makam Ibrahim, Hazrat Aswad from there as well. And if you stand, you can see Hatim. You can also see Mizab-e Rehmat from there as well. And you can make dua from there. Drink as much as Zamzam you want. Pour some on your hair, if you feel head and chest, if you're feeling hot. Okay, and then we've done our here, we finished our tawaf, we finished Zamzam, we made our dua. I'm going faster, brothers, because time is short. Okay, and you find a place wherever it's suitable. Sometimes what happens is people try and pray right next to Makami Ibrahim. Okay, it's Afzal, but you'll see so many crowd, people will be walking right next to them, they'll get pushed and everything. You'd rather go somewhere where nice and easy, where you find it comfortable, with concentration and devotion, yeah, and concentrate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise you get disturbed if you try to pray behind Makami Ibrahim. So when we finish your two rakat, if the time allows you, if you've done your umrah between Asr and Maghrib, we pray after Maghrib. If you do it after Fajr and Israq, you do it after Israq. Then inshallah you will make your way to Safa and Marwa. Which is, if you don't know it, those brothers who are going first time, it's signposted there as well. From Zamzam, let's say Zamzam is facing that way, Kaaba is behind us. You go to your left slightly, and behind there's a wall, and it gives you, there's a sign there as well. You go up the ramp and go up Safa. Yes? And then we go to Safa here, alhamdulillah. Now you've got your 7-bit tasbihs, brother, here. Those who haven't got it, you can take some from here. The ladies have their tasbihs as well. If you haven't got it, come and see me. I'm always here in Zakaria Mosque. If anybody runs out, you can always come and get it from here, brothers. Now, we make our intention here. Ya Allah, I'm performing Safa Marwa Sahi. Make it easy for me and accept it for me. And you make dua from Safa, you will be able to see Baitullah from one corner. Now remember this, brother, wait, watch and observe, yes? Because if there's too many people, it's too much crowd on the ground floor, don't jump in. Because I was lifted about 7 or 8 inches from the floor and my chest was being pushed like this. I was with my wife and I said, no, let's go on the first floor. If the first floor is packed as well, you go on the second floor. And inshallah, you'll be able to do it very well. But alhamdulillah, even though it was very, very crowded on the ground floor, we found it very easy on the first floor as well. Inshallah, we make our intention, and on Safa Marwa, you pray the fourth kalima, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku, wa lahul hamdu, yuhyi wa yumitu, biyadihil khair, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. The ladies will not run while doing tawaf or during Safa Marwa. It's only the men folk who will run. Hazra radiallahu ta'ala, she actually done all the running for the ladies. So the ladies don't have to do any running. Now, you'll see a long green light on the ceiling. So from the start of the green light to the end of the green light, only the men folk will run by making sure we don't push anybody or we don't hurt anybody until the end. And then our first circuit will finish at Marwa. Coming back on the other side is one way, and they also have a passageway corridor in the middle for the wheelchair people as well. Okay, so when you come from there, from Safa to Marwa, and from Marwa to Safa, that's your two circuits done. One elderly person did 14 circuits. He didn't know because he didn't learn. Yeah. So from Safa to Marwa is one circuit. From Marwa to Safa, is 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. We'll finish at Marwa. And then from there, you won't be able to see Kaaba, but you make dua from there as well. Now your Umrah is, alhamdulillah, finished. Those ladies who are in their monthly cycle, they will wait at their hotel, and when they are absolutely clean and pack and stuff, they will inform their mahram. The mahram will go to Masjid Aisha. If you go, you know, put your ihram on from the hotel, go to Masjid Aisha, pray a 2 rakat Salatul Masjid, and then you actually pray a 2 rakat again for your ihram. Yes, and then you come back to Makkah, collect your ladies, and then she will finish her first umrah, and the men folk will finish their second umrah. Hazrat, you okay?
You got 5 minutes, 4 minutes.
Oh, okay, brothers. Right. Brothers, be careful in Makkah and Medina. People I know from Bolton, my friends, right, they've actually had their pockets picked from here. One person from Halliwell Road, he had £400 gone from his top pocket. Yes? One brother, if you're wearing jabba, make sure you don't put your money here. When you're going in any of the masjids there, only take 50 riyal, 100 riyal, no more. Keep all your valuables locked up in your hotel, in your suitcase, lock it up. And then when you want to go shopping, go at night, take some money with you, and whatever you want to buy, you buy that, and you put your money back, okay? One, also your suitcases. What happens now is, it's happened to me only just before Ramadan, that let's say they say at the airport, on number 5, your suitcase will come on the conveyor belt. So I got 3 of my suitcases, but the other one didn't come. Another brother from Oban Street, he says, Fazal Bhai, help me. He says, my other suitcase is not come. I've got all mine. So then I started looking on the other conveyor belt, and then we found it from there. Yes? Now, one uncle from Dean Road is still alive. He's lost his money, and it's been over 20 years. He's still not received 2 of his suitcases yet. Now, this is why I tell everybody, please, please make sure in your hand luggage you take at least 2 or 3 pairs of clothes with you, just in case your suitcase doesn't arrive. Then what happens? At least you got your clothes with you, then you can wear it, inshallah. Maulana, Hazrat.
Bahut shukriya, Fazal Mama, that was excellent. Quick fire. Ihram and Umrah, Allah Pak reward you. I'm just going to add a few points, then we'll take some questions before we go on to Hajj, okay? Look, practically, everybody plans, okay, yani to some degree. But remember, when you are Duyufur Rahman, you're the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be over, it's an unknown, maybe you're going for the first time, you're worried about X, Y, and Z. Yeah, what's the worst that will happen? You might not have it, you lose it, or you have to buy it from the shops, okay? Why do I mention Duyufur Rahman? Because when you go as a guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you for this journey, there will be some form of intidam, okay? I don't go to Maulana Ahmad Dawood's house and worry about if there's going to be water, starters, middle course, okay? You go as a guest somewhere, you don't worry about the arrangements. Similarly, you're going to Hajj, don't be over worried about the arrangements, okay? Oh, nowadays, again, just from what I've experienced and the discussions in the WhatsApp groups, 90% of the time is just taken up in, you know, what bag are you taking? Is this cream okay? For a time of fiqh is fine, but it shouldn't take up too much of our time. The less you take sometimes, the better, okay? I was reading a kitab, Abu Shama al-Maqdisi, rahimullah, famous scholar. He's got pages on Hajj, and he literally writes in one line what he's taking with him. One line, okay? It's miswak, sunnah, surma, sunnah. He said he was taking a mirror and a comb, which by extension you could argue that is also sunnah, and obviously the ihram, etc. So that point done. Just a couple of things that I wanted to point out, but I left it. You know the state of ihram spiritually, okay? It's, you know, this sort of uneasiness that we get because we're not actually in our normal clothes. That is the purpose. That is the maqsad. The Hanafi fuqaha, they actually mentioned this of edginess, yeah, because that keeps you in that state of watchfulness. And the ulama mentioned that just the way you're worried that your ihram are going to fall off, you should worry about sinning so that you don't be embarrassed on the day of judgment. And if you do, Fazil Mama mentioned, if you do nothing in the state of Ihram, apart from just be in the state of Ihram, okay? The riwayat of Imam Tirmizi mentions that the sun doesn't set for a muhrim, illa ghabat ash-shamsu bidhunubihi, except that it takes his sons with him, takes his sins with him, okay? So just being in the state of Ihram is an ibadah in itself, number one. In terms of what we should be doing, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked, mal hajj in one riwayah, and ayyul hajji afdal, which is the best hajj, in another narration. And he said, al ajju wa thajju, okay? That one aspect which we'll cover is the sacrifice. The other aspect is what Hadith Fazal Mama mentioned about talbiyah, okay? Talbiyah recitation in itself is an ibadah. To the extent that the ulama have written that if you see somebody reciting talbiyah, it's not permissible, it's makruh for you to make salam to them. Similarly, when somebody is praying Quran, why are you coming between this individual and his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Obviously, if it's something urgent, you know, that's different. Somebody's blocking the doorway, that you need help. I'm not talking about those situations. I'm talking about this inherent want that we have to constantly entertain each other and have a good time and crack jokes, okay? There will be those opportunities, plenty of time to drink iron brew, okay? But when it comes to the certain aspects that Fazal Mama has mentioned, times of dua, and later on we'll discuss times of hajj, then we need to get used to just being alone ourselves, yeah? I just came back in Ramadan, and Alhamdulillah, Allah Pak gave us the honor of doing Umrah with Mufti Abul Qasim Sabah Nu'mani, who's the principal of Darul Uloom Deoband. So we were on the train, and I was there just to give some medicines. I wasn't accompanying him, so I sat in the seat behind, and I watched him that when it came to the time of saying his ihram, he told everybody to go away. You know, he wanted to sit on his own. He just sent everybody away, even though they were his accomplice or his khadim. So, you know, sometimes it's good to have that mindset. Finally, arriving in Makkah Sharif, if you're tired, by all means take a rest. If you're hungry, by all means eat. But remember that your purpose of being there is to go for Umrah, okay? So try not to waste time and dilly-dally, so to speak. Again, lots of things we missed about the hikam, amazing things about the wisdom. Somebody asked Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu about why is it that we're still doing ramal, what, you know, this marching motion, which I encourage people that because it's so busy, you might only get 1 meter, but just do it for 1 meter during the first 3 rounds. The point I'm trying to make is that somebody asked Hazrat Umar, why are we still doing it? Because there's no mushrikeen in Makkah. We've now done Fatih Makkah. But Hazrat Umar's reply was amazing. He mentioned, okay, this sunnah will remain to the day of judgment, yes. Not least because it reminds us of the sacrifices that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam undertook so that you and me could have the opportunity to make tawaf and practice upon our religion in peace today. Moving on, Zamzam, Al-Ma'u Zamzam mentioned in Hadith, Lima Shuribala. Zamzam is, again, an opportunity. You make an intention or a dua, okay? Make an intention and a dua. And inshallah, through the barakah of drinking zamzam, you will be able to fulfill that dua. There was a masnoon, again, sunnah duas are very good. It was mentioned on your slides, Allahumma inni saluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan wasi'a, so on and so forth. But you will see these in the slides and also in the dua books. And finally, just finishing on the note about mindset. One of the objectives of Hajj, the ulama mentioned, is tadhkiratul maut, okay, which is reminding oneself of one's passing away or one's death. Not just when you're leaving everybody to go, not only because you have, you know, interesting people that either cause you pain or help, like your deeds, good and bad, in the grave, but also when you're going through all these maqamat. And yesterday we mentioned the ayat of Surah Al-Qamar, which is on your screen in the bottom right, that when you look at the people in Sa'i, when they're literally running right to left between these people everywhere, somebody shooting left, somebody shooting right, the ulama mentioned, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, that this will be the manzar of Qiyamah. Khushya'an أَبَصَارُهُمْ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when we come out of our graves, our eyes will be humbled, will be lowered. Okay? When we come out of our graves, مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ كَأَنَّهُمْ جَرَادٌ مُنْتَشِرٌ. It's almost like we're locusts that are spread, spattered about everywhere. And if you've ever been in the haram, which some of you might have been, when there's a swarm of locusts, okay, when they go absolutely everywhere and all the kids are running around scared because they want to run downstairs, especially on the roof, that is exactly the mandar, or similar, not exactly the mandar, but similar to what we will see on the Day of Judgment, okay? Now moving on, alhamdulillah, we plan was to stop at 3 o'clock for the next section. I don't really need to give the Hajj overview because I think these boys will include it very nicely. What do you think? Sir, should we do the break now, take questions, or should we just crack on? Right, any questions about, or any comments, suggestions about leaving home, ihram and umrah? That's what we've done so far. Before we start moving on to the 5 days of Hajj. Ji. It is possible to make dua in your own language, yes. However, on certain occasions, you will miss the sunnah if it's a sunnah dua in Arabic, okay? So, for example, if you're making normal dua, it's a really good dua. Ya Allah, please forgive Asmar, the tour guide, Suhail, the tour guide. You can make these duas, Fazal Mama, the tour guide, yes? This is no problem. Or you're praying for yourself, your family, absolutely fine. But on selected occasions, if there is a sunnah dua for that time, even in sa'i, they're very short. Allahumma ghafir warham antal azul akram. Very, very short. Try and learn them. Okay, try and learn them, inshallah. Yeah? Next question. To the extent that ulama have mentioned that if you said the labbaik in a different language, the labbaik, okay, which nobody does, then you would still enter in the state of ihram, but it's not like, because at the end of the day, labbaik is the sunnah method of coming into ihram. So please learn, is the bare minimum, the short words. Good question. Ji. Yes, I think, Wazir Imam, I don't know if you mentioned, only during tawaf, the sunnah of uncovering your shoulder is only during tawaf, and that tawaf is a sa'i afterwards. Okay, so not so even if you happen to stop in the middle of tawaf to pray salah, you should actually cover your shoulder and then uncover it after salah and continue only during tawaf, not during sa'i, not during zamzam, or not during anything else. Okay, inshallah. Not during your posing your selfie to send people. Okay? I was cracking jokes, but there's lots, because I normally do this presentation, it takes a lot longer. But you've probably seen that picture on the bottom right that had a big red cross. I don't know if you noticed. Yeah. So again, the ulama mentioned that, you know, there was a time in the haram where, you know, when you'd see hands rising just to make dua and cry. All those hands were making dua. Unfortunately, majority of them nowadays are just taking videos. And that's the sad truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. G. Next. Anything else? Yeah, I think I'll leave it the qurbani. There's two types of qurbanis which people get confused, but the hajj, which is known as dami shukar, yes, for tamattu you will have to do it, and yes, for qiran you will have to do it. It's preferable for hajj ifrad. Okay, that's the qurbani, or the sacrifice for hajj. The qurbani, the udhiyah that you normally do every year, I'll let the boys deal with that when they mention the 5 days, depending on whether you're a traveler or not. But you can do that. But that's completely separate. That can be done back home or in India or in Pakistan or wherever you normally do it. But the dam of shukr is the separate qurbani for hajj, which you must do if you are a hajj mutamatti or a hajj qarin, qiran. Next. Anything else? Nothing? No? Take it, inshallah. Mali Sahib, a question to you. You want to take this one? It was one message that, is it better to take your phone to read the Qur'an-i Kareem, or is it better to take a pocket Qur'an? You go first in it, don't worry. If you mess up, I'll polish it. Huh? Mala Ahmad Sahib is saying that ideally you should take a pocket Qur'an. is more in line with the Mus'haf. So what Maulana is saying is that, you know, when it comes to adab and etiquettes of the Qur'an, the paper version is better, okay? I suppose he is right to some degree, because in order for you to touch the paper version, you have to have wudu, which is from the adab of reciting the Qur'an, okay? I use my phone too. And the benefit of using the phone sometimes is that if you don't have wudu, you can still read it as long as you don't touch the words, according to some muftis, and it's a bit more portable. But I like what Maulana is saying, because if you recite Qur'an with a pocket Qur'an, you've got much less distractions. You're there, you benefit more. Any other questions? Anything else? Feel free to just, you know, it's not a very small group, but it's small enough that we can hear you. It's not a problem. No? Cholo, inshallah. So that, alhamdulillah, 5 minute question that emptied out. Kya khayal hai, you guys wanna, you and Asif wanna crack on? Bismillah. Yeah, there's one here. Whoever's running around, roadrunner, use that one. And who's lazy like me, use this one.
He's got a bottle of water.
Right, brothers, if you can roll in, bismillah, roll in. Inshallah, we're going to start in 1 minute. Please pop into the masjid. Barakallahu feekum.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salam wa rasulullah Muhammad wa sallallahu alaihi wa sallam kareem amma ba'd fa a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem bismillahir rahmanir rahim rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Assalamu alaikum brothers, jazakumullah coming for the Hajj and Umrah seminar. Inshallah we'll be going through the Hajj segment of the program now, inshallah. Just to give me an idea of what your understanding is, how many of you have already been to any Hajj programs at all this year? Hands up. How many? Inshallah, of you. Majority of you, inshallah. So I have 50 minutes, and there's the 5 days of Hajj. So if I was to break that down, there's going to be 10 minutes for each day, inshallah. Is that right, Mufti Sahib? Yes? So, inshallah. So we'll go through the 5 days of Hajj. Now, the difference between Umrah and Hajj. Umrah is a set of rituals you've got to follow at tartib in your own time at a certain time. So you could do everything as you want, when you want, how you want. Hajj, it's a communal ibadat. It's going to be something that you will be doing together. So whilst there's not a lot of things to remember, there's not a lot of things for you to remember in terms of what to pray, how to pray, as you would do in Umrah, Hajj is a bit different. You will be in a certain place at a certain time. So you'll be following your groups, inshallah. So the majority of you, inshallah, will be following, well, all of you, in fact, will be following your groups, inshallah. So some of you will be coming from Medina, okay? Some of you will be going to Medina later on. The way we need to understand it is, come the eve of Hajj, which is the 8th of Zilhajj. So by the 7th of Zilhajj, which is approximately this year, 3rd of June, everybody who is intending on performing Hajj will be gathered into Makkah. Whether you are already there or whether you will be doing suffer from Medina. Okay? Now, Mufti Sahib has already spoken to you about the types of Hajj you will be doing. Majority of you will be doing Hajj Tamattu. And there's a lot of you that might be doing Hajj Kiran. And there might be a small minority of you that will be doing Hajj Ifrad. If any of you are unsure about which Hajj to perform, you'll have an idea by now based on your itinerary, based on your package, and based on your movement. But if you're still a bit unsure, just find us later on, inshallah, we'll be able to advise you, because everybody will have a different niyyah or an intention for Hajj. But the majority of you will be either performing tamattu or qiran. So that is something to bear in mind. So the way it'll happen is you will be coming to Makkah on the 7th of Zilhajj in readiness for Hajj. The authorities, the whole of Makkah will be geared towards the Hujjaj, basically. The military, the police, the government, everybody will be focused on the next few days, inshallah. So, just to give you an overview of what Muftis have already said, there are certain aspects. I don't want to go too much into the faraid and the wajibat, because you will be doing a certain a'mal or a certain ritual at a certain time, so you'll automatically will be, you know, in ihram. You'll automatically be going to Arafat, and you'll automatically be doing the tawaf ziyarah, for example. Then you've got the wajibat that you see over there. You're not going to be leaving Arafat before Maghrib anyway, because the coaches won't be there. So as long as you are aware that there are certain faraid and certain wajibat of the days of Hajj, it's very, very important to adhere to these, because there are penalties to be paid if we don't follow the ritual in a certain way. But inshallah, the way the whole tartib, the whole ritual, and the whole procedure, the way it's laid out, you will always be doing majority of the actions with your groups together as your families, you'll have a fair idea of which way to go and how it will be, inshallah. And you'll have guides around you to direct you, and inshallah, we will be at hand as well. So, on to the first day of Hajj, which is going to be the 8th of Zilhajj. So, approximately, depending on moon sighting, it will be around the 4th of June this year. You will be told by your groups that you will be leaving for Mina. So, the time, the sunnah of the day, 8th of Zilhajj, the sunnah of the day of Mina, the 8th of Zilhajj, is from sunrise, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's sunnah is from Masjid al-Haram. Now, this is sometimes not logistically possible, because you'll be dotted around everywhere. Some of you might be in Makkah. Some of you might be in Azizia. Some of you might be in Sisha. So for you to get to Makkah in order to adopt the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to do your niyyah in the haram, it's not going to be very practical. So what we do is follow the guidance of our groups. Follow the law of the land of the Ministry of Hajj, and the guidance they say is do your niyyah where you are, in your hotels, wherever you may be located, and you come into your state of ihram, so niyyat for Hajj. Those of you in Kiran won't be doing any niyyat because you've already been in your Hajj ihram anyway. Those who are doing tamattu will be having, you know, the usual, what Fazl Muhammad said, you'll be having a shower, you'll be donning your ihram inshallah, and you'll be doing your niyyat as well. So this is going to be done as a group by yourselves, okay? Those of you who want to venture from Makkah towards Mina on foot, which is something we do not advise simply because of security measures in place along the way, because of the route, because of the heat, all of these different eventualities will slow you down. So our recommendation to everybody is go with your families and go on the coach with the rest of your groups. Each coach will have 47 hujjaj with one guide or a scholar who will be looking over you, inshallah. This is a very, very important aspect of what the Ministry of Hajj and Umrah want for the hujjaj. They want the hujjaj to be guided spiritually and practically along the way. So stick with your groups. So you will be going to Mina on the 8th of Zilhajj on your coaches. Now, the coaches will start to depart for Mina from around 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, all the way up to 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon the very next day. Now, last year it was slightly delayed simply because the 8th of Zilhajj was also the day of Jummah as well. So traffic was very, very heavy. So a lot of the coaches was delayed. It's not likely to be the case this time, inshallah. We hope by 12 o'clock, by Zawwal, on the 8th of Zilhajj, majority of the coaches will be arriving into Mina and you'll be set into your camps, whichever provider or package you are with, okay? You may be given a time slot, so it works in slots. It might be from 12 o'clock until 2 o'clock in the morning. Anytime between that window, your coach will be coming. What will you be doing at that time? You'll simply be in your hotel, wherever that might be, whether it's Makkah, Azizia, or Sisha, and just resting until you get the call that the coach is about to arrive, in which case you'll get your belongings and you'll jump onto the coach. I just said belongings. What do we mean when we say belongings? What you will need over the next 48 hours. That could be your sleeping mat. Those could be an extra ihram, extra pair of clothes, your slippers. Everything that you would normally need if you're going away on a little trip for 48 hours, you will need with you. Your medicines, your energy tablets, your water tablets, everything that you will need, you will have in that bag. Now, on the slide, we've actually got a what we call an inventory list of all the most important things. And amongst the most important things are listed over here. So you've got your slippers, you've got your power bank, you've got your sleeping mat, you've got a small rucksack, you've got your drawstring bag for your stones, and your rucksack. A lot of you ask, how big of a rucksack will I need? 30 to 40 litres, maximum 50 litres is more than enough. That one there on the picture is 45 litres. That's all you need. You're not going to be carrying a lot with you because you're going to have to be walking later on, which we'll be coming through as well. So we've actually got a list over there printed for you all as well of all the different items families take with them. You don't need all of those items. You only take what you feel is necessary or you need with you. So if you're a diabetic, you're naturally going to have your insulin with you. If you if your sugar levels drop, you're going to hypo with diabetes, you're going to have your energy tablets, you know, your glucose tablets or a Mars bar or something like this. Your medicine is what you would normally take if you've got blood pressure, for example. Those are the things you'll generally carry with you. So it's all mainly common sense of the items you would carry with you. Over the last few days, we've had a lot of pilgrims asking us that, will there be any cooling facilities for our insulin? Of course, there's plenty of fridges there. You'd be able to put your insulin, and you could get from diabetes.org, you could get an insulin pack, which will keep your insulin cool for up to 12 hours. And you'll never be at a point where you'll be without a fridge for more than 12 hours anyway. So inshallah, it covers everything for those who are elderly who might have underlying health conditions. So I'm just going to overview all of that. So on the 8th of Zilhajj, whether you get there at 10 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning, you might get Fajr in Mina. You might not get Fajr in Mina. But ideally, you want to be praying those Salat, whether it's Fajr, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha, and Fajr the next morning, you will be praying in Mina. Does that make sense? You might ask, when do we pray them? You'll be praying them at the times. You might ask, how do we pray them? Do we pray them as Qasr or do we pray them as Musafir, as a Muqim? That is entirely up to you. Mufti Sahib will talk about the fiqh of that as well. Both understandings of Makkah and Mashair are accepted in the modern day. There are some fuqaha that say that if it's Mashair and if it's Makkah, those are two totally different places, so we treat them as different places, in which case you'll be a Musafir. A lot of the Fuqaha, they keep it all combined, that Makkah and Mashair is the same, so we will treat it as a Muqim. Whichever understanding you go with, there is nothing wrong with that. Please stick with that, so don't let anybody change your mind otherwise. You will get a lot of other pilgrims, other individuals giving you their opinions. You stick to what your niyyah is, your guidance is there, and just stick with that and just follow that, inshallah. Is that okay? So here we say we pray, majority of us, I mean, I've always been a Musafir in the days of Hajj. So you'll be shortened Zohar, Asr, and you'll be praying Isha as well, and Fajr the next morning, which is going to be the 9th of Zilhajj, which is going to be the day of Arafat, okay? What will you do on this day? You'll simply relax. This is a station, a rest station for the next day, which is the day of Hajj, the 9th of Zilhajj. All you've got to do is do your zikr, what you would normally do, zikr, tilawat, ibadah, prayer, salah, sit in halakas. Just focus your mind, relax, and keep tawajjuh, full focus on the very next day. You don't want to exert yourself going wandering out everywhere. You can go out in the evening, just relax. It's a rest station. Mina is a vast city, big, big camps, and it could be anything up to 40 of you in one tent. You'll have kitchens there, you'll have wuzu facilities, ghusl facilities there, and you'll have plenty of toilet facilities as well. So those of you who are concerned about what we will get there, alhamdulillah, the camps nowadays are very well equipped and they have all the facilities in place. So that is the 8th of Zilhajj, from when you leave Makkah to when you leave next day to go to Arafat. Does everybody understand that? Does everything make sense? Does anybody have any questions? Jazakallah. So we'll carry on from here on. So the next day is going to be the 9th of Zilhajj. So on the day of Mina, okay? So let me just go on to the slide. We've done the so. Okay, so 9th of Zilhajj. Again, just like you did the day before, you will be given a time. But on the 9th of Zilhajj, the times are very, very, very acute. So there'll be a lot more coaches. So the movement to Arafat will be very, very quick. You will be starting to leave for Arafat as early as, generally it's just after sunrise. So you will get your Fajr. So from 5 o'clock in the morning on the 5th of June, which is the 9th of Zilhajj, your coaches will be arriving and you will be making your way towards Arafat. From Fajr or sunrise even till Zawal, every single person will be moved from Mina to Arafat. Is that okay? Because the wukuf of Arafat starts at Zawal on the 9th of Zilhajj. Does everybody understand that? Does it make sense? Okay. One thing to remember on the 9th of Zilhajj at Fajr is the days of Tashriq will start. So after Fajr, from the 9th of Zilhajj, which is approximately the 5th of June, until the 13th of Zilhajj, Asr, you will be praying the Takbir Tashriq, what you would normally pray when you're in the UK. Does that make sense? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. Okay, after every Fajr Salah, Faraz Salah, you'll be praying that. Okay, just bear that in mind. So when you arrive on your coaches into Arafat, what will happen? You will be guided to your tents. Now the tents in Arafat are a little bit smaller and a little bit tighter, simply because your focus on this day is mainly dua. Dua inside the tent and dua going outside the tent. Okay? You will arrive before Zawal. So some of you might get there at 9:10 in the morning. When you get there 9:10 in the morning, what do? You just rest. You do not need to do anything else but rest, because the day doesn't start until Zawal. Does that make sense? So if you need to have a shower, if you want to freshen up, do fresh ghusl, you're more than welcome to do that as well. If you want to have a couple of hours nap, you're more than welcome to do that as well. So that's going to be the day of Arafat. This is going to be the day of Hajj. If you don't do this day, the Hajj is, it's not Hajj. You've not performed Hajj. So this is the most important day, the day why you are there. Very, very important to apply yourself full focus on ibadah, praying everything you've prepared for, all your du'as, all the planning you've done up till now. It'll be very, very important that you focus. The time starts from Zawwal and it'll carry on until Maghrib. So you have to remain in Arafat until Maghrib. It's very, very important. Remember, on this day, du'as are guaranteed to be accepted. And as Mufti Sahib has said many, many times, if there's the most sinful person on this day, it is the person who says that I have not been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the rank of this day. Your rank on this day, you will be the representatives of the Ummah on this day. There's 1.8 million Muslims that are going to be on the day of Arafat, and you will be representing the billions around the world. Those who made intention to go for Hajj, who couldn't make it to Hajj. Those who put money into their wallets, intending to secure a package that didn't secure the package. Those who intended to go for Hajj, who became unwell and can no longer go to Hajj. You have been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to represent the rest of the ummah on this day. So the responsibility is on you to make dua for the rest of the ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua, to my nearest understanding, was between 4 to 5 hours on this day. Unfortunately, we are weak. That half an hour, we can't stand there and make dua without sitting down. But you have to remember, stop, make dua. If you forget something, you could come back in, gather yourself, reflect, and then go back and make more dua. You have been given a long window, a good 5-6 hour window, in order to make all the duas that you can. Shaitan will be present on that day. The malaika will be present on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be on the first heaven on that day. The only day, on a day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes onto the first heaven. So proud, be proud of you. He will be, to the nearest meaning, boasting in the best possible way that my hujjaj are here coming to ask for forgiveness and I'm about to forgive them. So have these things in your mind, that everything that we've lived for in our lives, whether you are 20 years old or whether you are 60 years old, everything will be completely wiped clean on this day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all your sins on this day, accept all, as many of your du'as as possible on this day, and just as the day you were born. So please remember this, make the most of this day, because this is the day of Hajj. This is the day with destiny, and this is the be all and the end all. So please focus as much as you can. So come Maghrib time. So from Zawal until about Asr time, it's very, very hot. So you might want to just compose yourselves in terms of your ibadat. Don't spend too much time out in the sun if you don't tolerate the sun very well. You can make your du'as indoors inside your tent, and then you could go back outside. But after Asr, it cools down. The heat is manageable. So go and join the congregation. A lot of the scholars from around the UK will be there doing different istimai duas, and then there'll be infiradi duas as well. So take part in whichever gathering there is, and obviously with your families do duas there as well. So come Maghrib time on the 9th of Zilhajj, soon as it's Maghrib, you will not be praying Maghrib in Arafat. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Maghrib will be prayed with Isha when you arrive in Muzdalifah. When will you go to Muzdalifah? From Maghrib until roughly close to Fajr time, the coaches will start coming and going and transporting the Hujjaj to Muzdalifah. How often will they come? When will they come? You will be given time slots as you did on the morning of Arafat, okay? So at the point your coach arrives, you'll be boarded the coach and you'll be brought to Muzdalifah. What do you do until then? You could rest, go to sleep for a little while, have something to eat. You've had a very, very difficult day. Well, I call it difficult, but it's been a very challenging day because you've had to make dua for yourselves, for your families, for the rest of the world. And you'll be very, very tired because the emotion of everything that you've been through all day and the emotion of everything you've been through up till that point will start to gather. Why do I say this? Because when I see Hujjaj at Maghrib time, or even say 12 o'clock in the morning that night, they will literally be, as the hadith said, they'll be disheveled. They'll be tired, they'll be drained. And a lot of the Hujjaj actually tell us that I don't remember being there in Arafat that evening, because that's how tired they actually are. Soon as your coach arrives, you will be boarding the coach and you will be brought to Muzdalifah. There'll be a sector there. Now, Muzdalifah, there's no tents. Everything's out in the open. So you'll be allocated a small area. You'll go there, depending on the time, find a spot, and you'll be putting your bistar or your sleeping mats or your sleeping bags down, and you'll be resting there. What will you be doing in Muzdalifah? So in Muzdalifah, the first things you'll be doing is praying Maghrib and Isha together. Okay? So one adhan, one iqamah, the farad of Maghrib, the farad of Isha, then the farad of sunnat of Maghrib, and nafil and three witr of Isha. That's the order you follow on that day. Does everybody understand? Does that make sense? Okay? What else will you be doing on this day, this night? You will be picking your stones. After you've relieved yourselves from your salah, you will be picking up your pebbles. Okay? So, if you are intending on staying on for the 6 day of Hajj, then you'll be collecting 79 stones, okay? If you are going to be pelting just the 3 days, then you'll be collecting 49 stones. What's our advice? We advise pick over 100 stones, because there'll be somebody along the line who'll forget their stones, they'll lose their stones, they'll lose track of their counting, and they'll find that I've not got enough stones. That you will need later on. So pick as many stones as you can carry and keep them with you. Is that okay? Once you've collected your stones, you'll just be resting. The earlier you get there, the more rest you'll get. The later you get there, the less rest you'll get. But this is a very, very, very auspicious night, because this is now, in the UK, the night of Eid. Okay? The next day in the UK, the 10th of Zilhajj, will be Eid. But where we are as the Hujjaj, there is no day of Eid. It's just the 10th of Zilhajj. That night, there's a possibility this year could be Jumeirah. So there's a possibility, depending on the moon sighting, that the 10th of Zilhajj could easily be a Friday. You have the opportunity to not only have the night preceding Jummah, but also the night of Eid, but not only that, the night of Arafat as well. Duas at Muzdalifah are also very, very important, because those duas that weren't answered at Arafat, inshallah, will be answered at Muzdalifah. So spend as much of the night in Ibadat as you can, and if you need to rest, then by all means. So what else do we do in Muzdalifah? The wukuf of Muzdalifah, it's a very important aspect. It's another wajib. You have to have spent a certain time in Muzdalifah for that ritual to be accepted. When does that happen? The time, the wukuf actually means a stand to present. So the wukuf of Muzdalifah starts from Subah Sadiq, and it finishes just before sunrise. Okay? So that time at least you have to spend in Muzdalifah. Now, from here on, the days of Hajj start to become a little bit more hectic. Things start to get a little bit more busier. You will be very, very tired as well. So up till now, what we've done, we got to Muzdalifah, we performed our salah, we collected our stones, we rested, we did our wukuf of Muzdalifah. Now we are going to be ready after sunrise, or if you want to hang about until Ishraq, start making our way towards Mina again, okay? This is now the 10th of Zilhajj, okay? In the UK, it'll be day of Eid. In Mecca, it'll probably be, well, it'll be Jummah everywhere, but in Mecca, there will be no Eid. It'll be just another day. But the 10th of Zilhajj is the one that will take it out of you. Now, I know I'm going very, very quickly through these days. If you have any questions, remember them and just fire them at me at the end. Remember, you'll be following your group. You'll be doing the same as what everybody else is doing. So it's not as if there's something you've got to remember all the time. Okay? So how will you get to Mina? So remember, from the 10th of Zilhajj, there will be some other acts that we said we need to do, which we'll come to in a second. If I just bring the slides up here. There we go. So 10th of Zilhajj, on this day, you'll be going to the Jamarat and you'll be pelting Jamarat al-Uqba, the big shaitan, as they call it. How will the movement happen? You'll have family members who are not able to walk, okay, who are going to struggle moving around. They might have wheelchairs. Coaches will be available. 90% of the Hujjaj on the 10th of Zilhajj from Muzdalifah to Mina to Jamarat, they just walk it. Because where we are placed in Muaisim or in Mina, it's literally a mile away from Muzdalifah. And it's quite cool. It'll be about 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, so it's not exactly hot. You'll be able to walk it. The walk will be about 1 hour. So if you want to walk it, you walk it. If you want to wait for the coach, you can wait for the coach. The coaches could take anything between an hour to 3 hours. In that time, you could reach Jamarat on foot. So that's something for you to bear in mind if you want to. If you feel you want to wait for the coach, get some rest, go to sleep in Muzdalifah whilst you're there, and wait for your coach. If you feel no, I feel fit and healthy, I want to make my way towards Mina, then by all means. For those of you who are confident, been before, and those guides who are taking you straight to Jamarat, nothing wrong with that at all. You could go straight to Jamarat if you want. It'll take you about 2.5 hours roughly to get to Jamarat from Muzdalifah. Okay? The walk is roughly about 3-4 miles. Mufisa, but we got all the distances on here somewhere. Yeah, yeah, I'll forward on to it. So I'm going to come on to the distances. Ah, there you go. That's the distances over here. Does everybody understand what's going to happen? Remember, the 10th of Zilhajj is a very, very busy day. Physically tiring. The city will be in a gridlock. And you've got to do a lot of things on this day. So we've done the first thing. We've gone to Mina. We could rest there if you want to. From Mina, how do you get to Jamarat? Because that's the next act you've got to do. Jamarat, everybody has to walk. There is no way transport can get to Jamarat. Is that okay? So everybody will be walking to Jamarat. When will they be walking to Jamarat? Ideally, on this day, the most of the pelting will be done before Zawwal, because it'll start from what we said, that everybody will start making their way from sunrise and all the way up till Zawwal. Okay? So in terms of pelting on that day, once you arrive at Jamarat, the first one you'll see will be the one closest to Masjid al-Khayf, which is the small one. There'll be a big cross on there. You know, the authorities will tell you, you don't pelt this one today. And then in the next one, they'll say, you don't pelt this one. You'll go past the first two. You'll go to the first one, which is actually the way you're going. It's the last one. And everybody will be pelting that Jamarat al-Uqba, it's called. It's the one closest to Mecca, closest to Haram. You will be pelting that Jamarat 7 times. Until that point, you'll be continuing reciting the Talbiyyah. Soon as you approach the Jamarat, you'll be pelting that Jamarat how many times? 7, alhamdulillah. Yeah. So only one Jamarat to pelt on this day, and you'll be pelting that Jamarat 7 times, okay? Bismillah. You stop the Talbiyyah as well at that point. What will happen now? entirely up to you. What's the next thing we've got to do? So I might just ask a few questions here. What's going to happen after you've done the first pelting? Yes. Now remember, one thing I've not said at the moment, there is a tartib, there is a direction to follow on this day, there's an order to follow on this day. So the first thing you do is pelting, yeah? Or the rami, that's the first thing you do. The next thing is the sacrifice, the nahar, the dam shukr, okay? Now let's talk a little bit about that. For those of you who have already made arrangements with your own groups to do your qurbani or your dam shukr, your nahar, you will be waiting for them to tell you when the qurbani has been done. Does that make sense? Now, a lot of the faces I recognize here having the qurbani is done by ourselves. And you all know what our tartib is going to be. Once you've done your rami, you will have a contact number to call. Mufti Sahib will be sending you a contact number in your group. You'll have a qurbani group. And you will contact that number and you will tell them that I have just done my rami. Within 5 or 10 minutes, your qurbani will be done, inshallah. So last year, our qurbanis were done by 12 o'clock. We were all done. And that was 1100. This year we have 1500, inshallah. If we are successful as we were last year, all qurbanis will be done between 11 and 12 o'clock. So rami, qurbani, okay? And so animal sacrifice, as we call it. And the last part you've got to do after you've done your qurbani is what? Halak, you're shaving. Is that okay? Now, some of you will be heading back to Makkah. Some of you will be heading to Azizia. Some of you will be heading to Sisha. Taxis on this day are going to be very difficult to come by. If you do manage to get a taxi, they will charge you a lot of money. Just to give you an example, we paid £500 for a taxi to go 5 miles just to do our qurbani 3 years ago. We had to take mashwara from Mufti Sahib. Shall we pay the £500? So we all paid £100 each and we paid that money to do the qurbani, to go to the location for the qurbani. The point I'm trying to make is for them, locals, is an opportunity for them to earn. And they'll be coming from Riyadh, Jeddah, Dammam, everywhere. The drivers, when you speak to them, they'll tell you they're from Riyadh, from Dammam. They've just come for today to earn. So if you can walk it, bismillah. If you can manage to get a taxi, alhamdulillah. And if you just want to go back to Mina and rest there, you can do that as well. On this day, everybody will be following a tartib according to their families and according to what their capabilities are. Everybody will be doing things differently, okay? So please don't worry about what your best friend's doing because their circumstances will be very different to your circumstances. What we're not factoring into all of this is the heat. Extremely hot. And remember, you will have done your pelting in the morning and it's starting to get hotter and hotter and hotter. And it does get very, very hot. You'll be on foot. You'll be in your ihram and you will be extremely tired. When you factor all of these things in, you will have family members who are not very well. You'll be family members who are fit but they can no longer walk. So please, consider your circumstances, consider your family circumstances and pay attention to that. Attention to that and then make a decision as to what you want to do. So you've done your rami, your qurbani has been done, you've shaved your hair, you've come out of your ihram, okay? What is left to do now? Does anybody know? Tawaf is ziyarat, yeah? Tawaf is ziyarat still needs to be performed. So until that point you come out of your ihram, all the restrictions of the ihram are now lifted. The only restriction that remains is marital relationships, okay? That remains. So you need to perform your tawaf ziyarat before all restrictions are completely lifted. When do you want to perform tawaf ziyarat? That is going to be entirely up to you. If I ask 5 different individuals of when you want to do your tawaf ziyarat, everybody will give me a different answer simply because you just do not know how you're going to be feeling on that day or whether you've actually got the time to perform tawaf ziyarah on that day and get back to Mina. Okay? Alhamdulillah, judging by the last 2 years when it's been extremely hot, 2023 and 2024, majority of the hujjaj, they managed to get to their hotels become farig, and they were able to get to Masjid al-Haram to perform a tawaf ziyarah, and then go back to the hotel, freshen up, and then go back to Mina. To spend the nights in Mina is sunnat muakkada. It's very, very important, so you should definitely bear in mind that you need to get to Mina and not stop in your hotel and spend the night there because you've wasted that. Very, very important. This is that okay? So if you feel on the 10th of Zil Hajj, I do not feel I've got the energy or I'm not well, there is no way I could perform my tawafi ifada, tawafi ziyara on this day, it can be postponed until the next day if you want to. That tardeeb might work better for you. Why am I saying this? Because alhamdulillah, we've had the opportunity to do all of them based on circumstances. There's been instances we've not been able to perform tawafi ziyara on the 10th of Zil Hajj because we simply couldn't get there. There was no access. We still had to do qurbanis, talking in past years. So we said, it's not a problem. Let's postpone it until the very next day. You can easily do that. Okay? So the point I'm making here is the 10th of Zil Hajj is going to be different for absolutely everybody. Do what's best for you on that day, what works for you, and we'll go according to that. Is that okay? So I think all the slides you see here is basically what I've just said. Okay? Now, the only thing that remains for us to do now after the 10th of Zil Hajj is the 11th and the 12th of Zil Hajj, where you'll be doing now, the only real act or ritual that's left, the amal that's left, is going to be pelting on the 11th and pelting on the 12th if you're doing the 5 days of Hajj. Does that make sense for everybody? So what will happen in between all of this? Again, it's halat and circumstances permitting. If you're in Mina, say, suppose on the 10th of Zil Hajj, you've done everything that you needed to do, you came back to Mina, you'll be making a tartib. Now, on the 11th of Zil Hajj, the time to perform Rami of the three Jamarat, it's going to be from Zawwal until sunset. That is the recommended time. Is that okay? So there's two eventualities that can arise here. If you made it back to Mina, then you'll be making your way back to Jamarat to do the pelting. What will you do after that? You could either go back to your hotels, you could go to Makkah. If you still need to do Prophet Tawafi Ziyarat, you'll go do that. Or you will come back to Mina because you've done everything, so you just rest, or you might go back to your hotel to rest there. One thing I didn't mention, on the 10th of Zilhajj, you know, the day of Qurbani, you could be walking up to 25 miles. If I factor in walking from Muzdalifah to your tent, to Jamarat, to Makkah, to do your tawafi ziyarat, to do your sa'i, okay? To walk back to Mina, that is going to be 26 miles. If you took a detour, that could be up to 30 miles. I had a pilgrim family who said, well, we've counted 36 miles today. I said, alhamdulillah. How do you get to Mina? We'll drop in our groups location of where to get the taxi driver. If you manage to get, you will get taxis. I'm not saying you won't. You've got to bear in mind they'll be expensive, and you've got to bear in mind they'll be very busy, and there'll be gridlocks, so you'll be sitting in a very hot car for a very long time. So sometimes it's just a little bit easier just to walk it if you feel you're able to walk it. Does that make sense? Okay? So on the 11th of Zil Hajj, all you'll be doing is going towards Jamarat, so you'll be walking another mile at Zawwal, and you'll be pelting all three shaitan, okay? Starting with the smallest, then the middle, and the biggest one. Exactly as you did on the first day, you'll be pelting 7 times, 7 times, 7 times. 7, 14, 21. Is that okay? That's the 11th of Zil Hajj. And exactly the same on the 12th of Zil Hajj. So those are the 5 days of Hajj completed. Anytime between the 10th and the 13th, you may not have done tawafi ziyara, you can still do it in that time, anytime you want to, whatever is possible for you. In 2023, we had to postpone tawafi ziyara until the 12th of Zil Hajj because we were taking a terminally ill cancer patient to perform her tawaf, and she could only do it at a certain time. So we reserved our tawafi ziyara for her so we could do it at that time. Circumstances permitting. Remember this. You do not have to rush. You do not have to panic. You do not have to become in an agitated state because somebody that you know is doing something in a certain way. Your Hajj, your family, your circumstances. Do remember, and your Allah, He's watching you. So you've got nothing to worry about, inshallah. It's all on your niyyah. Very, very important. Now, if you feel you want to stay for the sixth day of Hajj as well, and you want to help for the extra day, this is going to be the last 21 pebbles. If you want to do that, you're more than welcome to do that. Now, the important point to note here as well, that if you do not intend to do the pelting on the sixth day of Hajj, so on the 13th of Zilhajj, you've got to make sure that you have left Mina at Subah Sadiq on the 12th. Does that make sense? Otherwise, it becomes wajib for you to need to pelt on the 13th of Zilhajj, which is the sixth day of Hajj. Does this make sense? At this point, the main rituals of Hajj have completed. The only thing that remains now is Tawaf e-Wida, the farewell Tawaf. Okay? Now, a few points on the farewell Tawaf. Alhamdulillah, the fortunate thing is that until around 10 days after Hajj, the Mataf will be open for everybody, even in normal clothes. So you'll be able to go on, and if you want to perform a nafil tawaf to make it tawaf wida, you can do. Is that okay? In normal clothes. If you feel you've not been able to do any tawaf there, but you did one last nafil tawaf at some point over the last few days, then that can be compensated as your tawaf wida as well. But it's very, very important to do that. The only thing I've not mentioned in this point is if within your families, the women folk are not able to perform the tawaf ziyarat, they can postpone it until later on if they need to, inshallah. Is that okay? Does that make sense, everybody? I know I've been through it very, very quickly, but I think I'm coming close to my 50 minutes, Mufti Sahib. Is that okay? Alhamdulillah. So we can open up to some questions, practical questions, fiqh questions, or anything that I've said that you feel you want a little bit more elaboration on, to clarification. I'm more than happy to take any questions as well, inshallah. Any questions? You can stop where you are, but don't use that as an excuse. I know. There will be instances, there'll be families who will not, I'm telling you, there'll be families who won't make it back to Mina. Mufti Sahib will tell you, we've actually got to Mina in the past at the Fajr Azan. You could appoint a proxy. So if you cannot make it to Jamarat to do the pelting, you can appoint a proxy. Alhamdulillah, we've done that many times. There will be individuals who became unwell in those few days. It is very, very tiring, physically, mentally, and because of the heat and the fatigue, you just don't know how your bodies are going to respond. You may become unwell. So yeah, you can appoint a proxy if you want to. No. The pelting has to be done on that day. Mufti Sahib, am I right in saying this? Yes?
Yeah, you're time limited. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, now, if you weren't time limited, everyone would just do all 3 days in advance.
I'll give an example. There were actually, we were at Jamarat in 2023, and three young scholars, all Leicester IDA students, we were waiting for wheelchairs to arrive at, we were actually at Masjid al-Bay'ah, we were camped there. And right in front of our eyes, they were standing there, and they just collapsed. It's that hot. It's very, very difficult. And these are young, students. So anything that can happen. So what we're saying here is be prepared for all eventualities, and there's a backup option for everything, inshallah. It's very straightforward. If you find that you had to postpone something simply because of the circumstances, there's nothing wrong with that as well, inshallah.
And on that masala of appointing a proxy, we want to strike a balance between not trying and not being lenient. What I mean by that is somebody can stand up and pray their namaz properly, okay, then they should be able to walk. However, if they can't walk, clearly that's a lot more and nobody can take them, or by going they will fall more unwell, or by going they feel they'll fall more unwell, then you appoint a proxy, okay, then you appoint a proxy on your behalf. But if you're otherwise fine and somebody's willing to take you, then you should go on the wheelchair and do your own rami where possible. Ji. Does anybody know what the reward of rami is? For every stone? See, these are the things that are quite important. The hadith mentions that every time you pelt the shaitan, and remember there's 49 stones or 70 depending on how many days you do rami, then each stoning or each individual stone will drop a sin from you, a massive sin that was muhlik, that was going to destroy you in the Day of Judgment. That's with every single stone. Jee.
I know we've been in all the programs, I've been listening to a lot of the Hajj programs. They say there's going to be a big rush and there'll be stampede. Alhamdulillah, in the last few years we've been there in the modern post-COVID Hajj. There's three floors and they're staggered in such a way and the routes are mapped out in such a way that you will not run into a crowd. We have up to 300-400 pilgrims following with us for the Rami. No crowds, alhamdulillah, so don't be afraid. Yeah, you might want to wait until it cools down a little bit before you go out. So that's absolutely fine as well. In terms of what Mufti Sahab was saying as well, that do remember every arkan and every ritual that you are taking part in, that there's a great reward in that as well. And it's all part of fulfillment of your Hajj as well. So do bear that in mind as well. In terms of a lot of you have been asking regarding... what about sadqa? What if I've made a few mistakes here and there? Remember, the sadqa or any compensation of any violations, then it needs to be done within the hudud of the haram as well. So the contact numbers we give you, the qurbanis, the same numbers, we'll be able to arrange that for you as well, should you feel the need to.
The sadqa you can do at home.
Outside, yeah.
The sadqa, but the dams you'll need to do inside the haram, okay? Unless you choose to do both the sadqa and the dams there, which is perfectly fine. And to be honest, if you ever have a chance to chill with these guys, they will take you to that sort of poverty which you'll be shocked and surprised can exist even in the blessed lands. Jee.
Within 2 miles of the haram itself, there is unimaginable poverty. That for them to have a handful of meat of the qurbani will be their eid. Inshallah. So these are the things to bear in mind. Any questions from anybody, inshallah, over the 5 days of Hajj? No, so remember, the things that has to be in order. So the rami, the animal sacrifice, and the shaving, those three have to be in that order. However, if you feel that you've done your rami, you want to go straight to haram and do your tawaf ziyarah, then you can do that. But then when you come back, it has to be your qurbani and then your shaving, your halak. If you do your halak before your qurbani, then obviously you're going to be liable. Without reason, you'll be liable to a penalty as well. And something I didn't mention as well, that remember, some of you may have actually done your sa'i, or you may have been told that you could do the sa'i of Hajj if you are in Qiran, in Ihram, before Hajj as well. So that's an option for you as well. So again, we've done both. We've done Tawaf Ziyarat and Sa'i together, but we've also done the Sa'i of Hajj before Hajj, and then just the Tawaf Ziyarat left. But remember, Tawaf Ziyarat and Sa'i, they have to be done. They're all one. They're all part of the ritual for that day. Does that make sense for everybody? Jazakallah Murtaza, I think that covers the 5 days of Hajj, inshallah. How many of you with Duf al-Bayt? Put your hands up. How many with MCDC? How many with Dur? So majority of Duf al-Bayt, inshallah, will be around you watching you, so don't worry about anything. How many with Sira? Rifad? Flynas? We'll be keeping an eye on all of you, inshallah. Are you all in the Falah Telegram group as well? Put your hands up. MashaAllah, majority. If you're not in the Falah Guidance group, just go to the back and Irfan will send you the link and join the group, because we are very, very active throughout the days of Hajj, inshallah. Irfan, if you want to walk around with the QR code, you can scan for Falah. Anybody who's still unsure about the Qurbani, please feel free to come and see us. We'll help you arrange it. There's no compulsion. You could do it whoever you're comfortable with. Some of your groups might be arranging it for you, but alhamdulillah, I think we got there before everybody else this time. Inshallah, quite a lot. We had we allocated 1,500 Qurbanis. We're 750 are now confirmed, but we've still got another 500-600 to add on to that. There will be a point that we will cut off our Qurbanis because we need to reserve the animals for dams, which could go anything up to 1,600-1,700. So, you know, if you've not done your Qurbani and you need somebody to do it, do let us know, inshallah. If you've already made your arrangements, then alhamdulillah. If you're not too sure, please ask.
Who is Maulana Ilyas Raja?
Sorry, brother. Both. Well, you don't have to. The person doing it has to be within the boundaries of Mecca. And if you remembered something later on, yeah, just ring them and inform them. Yeah, that's not a problem. There will be individuals come back and reflection will realize that, oh, hang on a minute, I did this. You can easily forget. Mufti Sahib said the other day, write down the small minor violations. I think I put it in the group that 1 kilogram of wheat is around, the value is around £4.50 at the moment. So if you, for example, drop 3 hairs through wuzu, and if you add them all up, it might go to 20, 30, 40 pounds. You might actually find that if you've done a long ihram, kiran, for example, 5-6 days, and you've done wuzu 5 times over those 5-6 days, then it will amount up to roughly around £100 anyway. So you might think, you know what, I might as well just get an animal done to expiate all of it. There's nothing wrong with that as well. It's very straightforward. A lot of hujjaj, they've become bogged down and confused and worried and concerned about dams. Mufti Sahib said that there's nothing to worry about. It takes a lot for you to engage in a major violation. Everything else are to the value of a sadqa, which, as we've said, we've worked it out to Sir Fitrana, is 1 kilogram, which is up to £4.50.
And sometimes it's even less than that. Write down all your mistakes, okay, sit with an alim or a learned person at any point during Hajj or the end, and then just settle it, okay? Like you do your tax returns every year. Just go through it once. Gee.
Yeah, some of the biggest things we see, pilgrims, hujjaj worrying that I've done this wrong, this person said I've got to give a dumb. You have to understand what the meaning of dumb is. Dumb is, the second largest violation. You've got the badana, then you've got the dumb, and the rest of them are all sadqas. If you just wash your hands in a bit of soap, but you washed it away very, very quickly, go give a dumb. You're not going to go and sacrifice an animal for washing your hands in soap. You have to understand this, and this is where a lot of pilgrims become very confused and despondent, and they can put your Hajj into doubt as well. So please just take our word for it. We've got Mufti Asmar here. We've got so many scholars around us. Majority, 99% will be just sadaqas. If it does become a circumstance when it's a dumb, then it can be arranged. And then badana, you've got to be very silly. But it happens.
Shall we move on?
Shall we convene on that, inshallah? Jazakallah.
Yeah. So everybody now is happy with all the days of Hajj, okay? They don't have any questions and queries. So I think what we'll do is we'll just give you guys another 5-minute break, because like Bhai Sahil said, when you're going 100 miles an hour, it's a lot to take in. We're going to reconvene in 5 minutes, inshallah, and then we're going to just finish off with the ziyarah of Medina Munawwara. And one other thing that I really want everybody to listen to very carefully, which won't take more than 5 minutes, okay? 5-10 minutes, okay? It's a conversation between a special student and a special teacher about Hajj. Inshallah. So 5 minutes break, have your water, inshallah, and then we'll see you back. Barakallahu feekum. Yeah, timing wise, excellent. Alhamdulillah.
remember, there will be somebody like that.
You know, in your time, 20 years ago, no, you don't understand. If you can go to the toilet, eat namaz, okay, are you walking 20 kilometers?
You have to bear in mind.
You get it. I've been walking. What it is, I'll keep on saying it. But what I say to them, look, if you feel you have to go yourself,
those alims who came there, they were not well. They fell flat. We had to go to there.
It's very, very good. That's why I said, I give the example of, can you pray namaz? You could pray namaz per se. Then you should go to your alim. The only time is if you feel that walking, you're going to become more healthy. But it's a good thing for all people. And after that, we say most people, they do the proxy too easy. Mean it yourself.
Yes.
Okay, brothers, last session, inshallah. Don't worry, just another 45 minutes, maximum 1 hour. If brothers can come in, come to the front, inshallah. Umaz, don't worry, yeah, we'll talk about it in Camel 1. Dawud not teach, no? Dawud here. Dawa. Okay, so... Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Nahmadhu Nasalli ala Rasulihil Kareem. Okay, you're going to like this next part. Maulana Ilyas Sahib, who's going to discuss Ziyara Madina Munawwara. Before then, he's going to read an excerpt from... It's taken by Ithaf, and it's been narrated in Hazrat Sheikh's Fada'il Hajj. I don't have it on the screen, so you might not be able to follow it, so you need to listen carefully. It's a conversation between Alama Shibli Rahimahullah, who is... Not time for biographies. He was one of very pious elders, pious bazurgs, ulama, and his student, who is referred to as a murid. So, again, generally on Hajj, we have lots of discussions. Everybody needs some sort of sheikh, okay? A genuine sheikh, a mukhlis sheikh, one that follows the Shariat, okay? So he's trying to spiritually educate his student about the deeper understandings of Hajj. Now that we've been through, just listen to the conversation and listen to the answers. What's up? Bismillah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Muhammadu wa nasallahu ala Rasulil Kareem. So, it reads like this. Once one of the murids of Sheikh Shibli, rahmatullahi alayhi, the great saint, came to visit him after having performed Hajj. The Sheikh asked him some questions. The murid continues the story. The Sheikh asked me, "Did you make a determined niyyah for Hajj?" I replied, "Yes, I made a firm intention for performing Hajj." The Sheikh replies, "Together with having made a firm intention for Hajj, did you also have a firm niyyah of forever giving up, doing all those things you did since you were born that are opposed to the spirit of Hajj?" I replied, "No, I did not." "Sheikh, in that case you had no niyyah for Hajj." Then he said, "At the time of entering into Ihram, did you remove your clothing?" He replied, "Yes, I did." "Sheikh, at that time, did you pledge to remove from everything save Allah?" I replied, "No, I did not." "Sheikh, in that case, you did not remove your clothing. Did you cleanse yourself by means of ghusl and wudu?" I replied, "Yes, I did clean myself in that manner." "Sheikh, at that time, did you also become cleansed from all evils and faults?" I replied, "No, that I cannot say." "Sheikh,
In that case, you did not cleanse yourself. Did you recite labbaik? I replied, yes, I did recite labbaik. Sheikh, did you at that time hear the answers of labbaik from Allah? I replied, no, I did not receive any such reply. Sheikh, in that case, what kind of labbaik did you recite? Did you not enter the holy haram, i.e. the area around Makkah? I replied, yes, I did. Sheikh, did you at that time pledge to leave aside every prohibited act forever, every haram act forever? I replied, no, I did not. Sheikh, then you did not enter the area of the haram Sharif at all. Did you visit Makkah? I replied, yes, I did. Sheikh, when you did you also see the hereafter? I replied, no, I did not see anything. Sheikh, then you did not visit Makkah. Did you enter the holy masjid? I replied, yes, I did. Sheikh, did you then on entering felt the nearness of Allah? I replied, no, I did not. Sheikh, then you never actually entered the masjid. Were you present at the Kaaba? I replied, yes, I was. Sheikh, did you then see that entity due to which the Kaaba is visited? I replied, no, I saw nothing. Sheikh, then you never saw the Kaaba. Did you perform Ramal at the time of Tawaf around the Kaaba? I replied, yes, I did. Sheikh, did you at that time flee from this world in such a manner that you felt you were completely out of this world? I replied, no, Sheikh, I did not do that. Sheikh, in that case, you did not perform the Ramal. Did you place your hands on the black stone and kiss it? Yes, I did. The Sheikh then became very pale and greatly frightened, so much so that a shriek passed from him. And he said, woe unto you, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, whoever places his hands on the black stone is like him who actually shook hands with Allah. And whosoever shakes hands with the hand, whoever shakes the hand of Allah shall in every way remain safe from all things. Did you then feel anything about that security? I replied, no, I did not. Sheikh, then you did not touch the black stone. Did you perform two raka'ah at Maqami Ibrahim? I replied, yes, I did. Sheikh, you were at that particular time placed on a high rank by Allah. Did you carry out what is due for that high rank for which you stood there? I replied, no, I did nothing. Sheikh, in that case, you did not perform Salah at Maqam Ibrahim. Did you perform Sa'i between Safa and Marwa? And did you ascend the Safa? I replied, yes. Sheikh, and what did you do there? I replied, I recited Takbir thrice and prayed to Allah to accept my Hajj. Sheikh, did the angels also recite the Takbir with you? And did you have any knowledge of the significance of your own Takbirs? I replied, no. Sheikh, then you descend. When you descended, did you feel all evil and every weakness departing from you and inner cleanliness entering yourself? I replied, no, Sheikh, I did not. The Sheikh, then you never ascended Safa, nor did you descend from it. Did you run between Safa and Marwa? I replied, yes. Sheikh, at that time of running, did you feel yourself running away from everything else besides Allah and reaching to Him? This is referring to the verse of the Quran. And I fled from you when I feared you. And Allah also says in another place, and flee towards Allah. I replied, no. Sheikh, then you never ran. Did you ascend Marwa? I said, yes. Sheikh, whilst on Marwa, did you acquire great inner calmness and peace that descended upon you? I replied, no. Sheikh, then you never ascended Marwa. Tell me, did you proceed to Mina? I replied, yes, I did. Sheikh, while you were there, did you attain such hopes in Allah that have nothing to do with evil? I replied, no. Sheikh, then you never went to Mina. Did you visit Masjid al-Kahf? I replied, yes. Sheikh, and did you then experience such fear for Allah that you never ever experienced before? I replied, no. Then you never did enter the Masjid. Did you reach the plain of Arafah? I said, yes. Sheikh, and on Arafah, did you recognize the cause for your coming into this world, what you are doing here, and where you shall proceed afterwards? And did you recognize the thing that points towards these things? I replied, no. Sheikh, then you never visited Arafah. Did you visit Muzdalifah? I replied, yes. shake. And did you remember Allah there? So much so that everything else was forgotten. As Allah has mentioned, referring to a Quranic verse, and remember Allah at the Mash'ar al-Haram, plain of Muzdalifah. I replied, no. Shaykh, in that case, you never reached Muzdalifah. Did you perform Qurbani at Mina? I replied, yes. Shaykh, did you then sacrifice your own self? I said, no. The Shaykh, then you perform no Qurbani. Did you perform the Rami, pelting of the shaitan? I said, yes, I did. Shaykh, with every stone that you threw, did you feel yourself shaking off from you every form of ignorance, and did you feel your knowledge increasing? I replied, no. Shaykh, then you did not perform, you did not actually perform Rami. Did you perform the Tawaf Ziyarah? I said, yes. Did you, Shaykh, did you experience any spiritual enlightenment at that time? And from Allah, did honor and respect descend upon you? For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, one who performs Hajj or one who performs Umrah is Allah's guest. And when visits someone, it is only right that he should be honored. I replied, I experienced nothing. Shaykh, then you never actually performed Tawaf Ziyarah. Did you then release yourself from Ihram? I said, yes. Shaykh, did you at that time promise to adhere to strictly halal earnings at all times? I replied, no. Shaykh, in that case, you did not become halal. You did not come out of Ihram. Did you perform the farewell tawaf? I said, yes. Shaykh, did you then say a complete farewell to your whole self, desires and passions? I said, no. Shaykh, then you did not perform tawaf wida. Go back and perform Hajj again. And perform it in the manner which I have described to you. I have related this lengthy conversation to illustrate what type of Hajj the saintly ones do perform. May Allah in His infinite grace and mercy grant us all that type of Hajj. Ameen.
Ameen. Barakallah, Sheikh Sahib. So the reason why I stuck that in was just so you guys understand that there's a purpose beyond a purpose. I would be lying to you if I stood there and said to you that we did Hajj like that. These are the Hajj of the pious. But because we've not done it like that, it doesn't mean that we should aspire. We shouldn't aspire to at least trying to resemble it as much as possible. So now we move on, alhamdulillah, for the next 20 minutes. Maulana Ali Asab is going to go through Ziyarah al-Madinah Munawwara, alhamdulillah. And then after that, we'll just finish off with a close. We'll probably finish early today because maybe you guys have got a barbecue to go to, or you are very knowledgeable and you're not asking anything. So we've actually managed to go ahead of schedule, having started behind schedule. Ji Maulana Sahib, bismillah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulil kareem, amma ba'd. So, alhamdulillah, you guys have been sitting for a while now, and you already are aware at how lucky and privileged you are to be visiting Allah's house. And also at the same time, inshallah, you will also be visiting Madinah Munawwara, the two most blessed places on earth. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to allow everyone here, inshallah, to go there. So there's a discussion between the ulama at which is more virtuous. Is Makkah more better or more virtuous, or is Medina more virtuous? Obviously, Makkah has the house of Allah, and there's a lot of, there's obviously the house built by Ibrahim alayhi salam. It's the house of Allah. But in Medina, we have the Ansar. Islam was initiated, the stronghold was initiated from there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried there. So the ulama are generally agreed. Most of them, they say that Makkah is more afdal. Yeah, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. However, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, he is of the opinion that Medina is more afdal. So when we are, inshallah, going to Medina, we need to be aware that it is the second most holiest place in the world. And in fact, the actual place where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried, the parts that are adjacent to his body and that part, there's actually no debate within the ulama that this particular part of the earth is the most virtuous than any other part of the universe. Even more virtuous than the Kaaba, and even more virtuous than the throne of Allah. So alhamdulillah, we are going to get an opportunity to visit this particular sacred place. And for a haji, it's important that I've never heard of a haji or a person that's gone for Umrah that's never visited Masjid al-Nabawi. I mean, when we went for Umrah a few weeks ago,
Some brothers, they literally got off the plane and they went to Medina, they prayed one salah, they gave salam and they went straight to Makkah. Because they know that as a Muslim, how can you not visit the blessed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ulama have mentioned it's mustahab, but many ulama have said it's wajib, it's necessary. Just like hajj is necessary, visiting in a lifetime as well, if somebody has the means, some ulama have written that it's wajib for a person that he must go and visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the level of opportunity that we're getting. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also as well, he mentions in the hadith, man hajj al bayta, that whoever goes and visits hajj, does hajj and visits the house, لَمْ يَزُرْنِي فَقَدْ جَفَانِي, and he did not visit me, then he has done bad to me. He has treated me badly. So imagine that a person, he goes for Hajj and Umrah and he does not go and visit the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And why not? Why should a Muslim not want to visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The one through whose means we are going to be entering, that we recognize Allah, that we were told about Akhirah, and that we will enter Jannah through the means of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also as well, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in a hadith, there's many hadith like this on the virtues of visiting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I'll just mention one of them. That the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, man zara qabri, that whoever visits my blessed grave, wajabat lahu shafa'ati, then for him my intercession will be wajib. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of judgment, when we'll be running around, everybody will be nafsi nafsi, and the only person that will not be saying nafsi nafsi will be the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will be saying ummati ummati. And when Allah gives him that, Allah gives him permission and says, go and take all those people you want into Jannah, inshallah, if we visited Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we visited with the right adab, he will point us out and he will remember that we came to visit him. And his shafa, he will take us straight into Jannah with him, inshallah. So This is the opportunity that's in front of us. So, as we know in our deen, innamal a'malu binniyat, that all actions are weighed and according to the niyyah. So, when we go for hajj, who do we go to hajj for? Allah. We are doing all these acts of ibadat for Allah. So when we're going for hajj, what do? We don our ihram and we are going past the miqat. What do we start saying? We start saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Oh Allah, I'm here. And the words that we read are pure tawheed. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only you, Ya Allah. I'm coming only to visit your house to do hajj for you. So when we're going to Medina Munawwara, we are also going to seek the pleasure of Allah. But ulama mentioned what should be the actual niyat at that time. It's for Allah, but taba'an, what is the main niyat for visiting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So ulama have a discussion, and the discussion is that should you visit the Prophet's mosque? Should you visit Medina with the niyyah of seeing the Prophet only? Or that you are going to Medina to also do ziyarah of his masjid? So there's a big discussion, and many ulama, including Mufti Qari Sayyid Ahmad, the writer of Mu'allim al-Hujjaj, there's fatawa written as well, and other big scholars, Imam Humam, the writer of Fathul Qadir, he's of the opinion that making niyyah, especially if this is your first time, making niyyah khalis to visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his tomb, This should be the niyyah. No other niyyah. Only your niyyah should be to visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is giving ta'zeem to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's martaba. This is revering of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as it should be revered. We're going not to visit his... Yes, the mosque has its place, but it's only the mosque of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The mudaf ilayh is what? It's Nabi's mosque. Medina is only Medina because of who? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Imam Humam, rahimahullah, a big Hanafi scholar of the past, he says that you should have the niyyah only to visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yes, if Allah gives an opportunity again and you visit again, then we should act upon what our ulama normally advises. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَلُ بِالنِّيَّةِ وَإِنَّمَا لِمْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. That for a person is what he intended. So normally when we do a niyyah for something that's mustahab or optional, We could have many niyat inside there. And we'll get the reward for all of those namaz. We'll get the niyat for all of those niyats. And ulama give example of a person prayed 2 rakat, salah nafil, he can have the niyat of salatul tawbah, salatul istikhara, salatul hajah. And if he has all of these different niyats, he'll get the reward for that. Yeah, a person is walking to the masjid, he has the niyat that I'm going to pray salah. But he also has the niyat that I'm going to give salam to someone. I'm going to sit in the ta'leem. I'm going to remove something from the path. I'm going to do etikaf. All of these rewards you get. So normally with a niyat, the more niyats you have, the more reward you get. But over here, the ulama have said, no. Specify your niyat only for, like hajj was only for Allah. This is only for Allah, but I'm going to visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, like this, a person when he's going to visit, we should refresh our niyyah and have the niyyah just for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as we are traveling towards Medina, there's no miqat as there was for Hajj. And by the way, you can visit either Medina before or afterwards. But the ulama, they mentioned that it's better to go after your Hajj. If you have an option, then you should visit Medina and visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the Hajj. Okay? But you can go before or after. So as you are traveling towards Medina, there's no miqat. But Medina is classified as a haram. Haram means a sanctified area. Okay? So in Makkah, there's certain rules. You can't cut down trees. There's certain things you can't do. So according to some ulama, they say that Medina is also a haram. It's sanctified and there's certain rules regarding that. But Imam Abu Hanifa says it's sanctified in the way that we respect it. It's not got the same rulings as Makkah. Khair, as we are entering and we are going towards Medina, there's no miqat. However, the dhikr on our tongues, the dhikr of visiting Medina is Durud Sharif. Just as our dhikr for Hajj was Labbaik. So as much as we can, we send salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we try to bring to our mind all the sacrifices that he's done for us, the muhabba. We should try to inculcate and try to motivate ourselves and remind ourselves where we are going. And I remember on one of the visitations, when we were traveling, one of the boys, he put on a nasheed, without music. Obviously, we already got the answer from Mufti Sahab on what kind of nasheeds are allowed. The seerah, it was a nasheed that talked about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whilst we were traveling, we were hearing the sacrifices of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was motivating us. So a person, as he's traveling, he can motivate himself, talk about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if somebody is really knowledgeable, then you can ask them to talk about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So like this, a person, he will travel, and the ulama mentioned that when you see Medina, or as you're entering Medina, you should make dua. This is a moment that duas are accepted. And ulama have mentioned various duas, not from the hadith, but from what our ulama have said in the past. And one of the duas that's mentioned is, in Mu'allim al-Hajjaj, is mentioned that as you are entering Medina, we should say, Allahumma hadha haramu nabiyyik. O Allah, this is the sanctified area of your Prophet. Faj'alhu li wiqayatan minan nar. So Allah, make it a wiqaya, make it a protection for me from the fire. وَأَمَانًا مِنَ الْعَذَابِ and a security from your punishment. وَسُوءِ الْحِسَابِ and also a protection from a bad reckoning, Ya Allah. And there's other du'as as well mentioned here, but I'll skip them. So if you can't make du'a at that moment and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this visit, in another place, رَبِّ أَدْخِلْنِي مُدْخَلَ صِدْقٍ وَأَخْرِجْنِي مُخْرَجَ صِدْقٍ وَرْزُقْنِي مِنْ زِيَارَةِ رَسُولِكَ. Allah, make my entering a good entry. I'm entering with a good niyat. I want forgiveness. I want hidayah. I want the love of Nabi. I want to change my life. I want to be a better person. I want to start praying more. I want to enjoy my namaz with you, Ya Allah. All of these niyats we're coming with, oh Allah, I'm going in with this. Make me leave with all these things, with your forgiveness, with your happiness. Make me leave with something good, barakah and nur from this place. So a person, he makes dua and he enters Medina. As soon as a person goes to his residence, place of residence, the first thing he should do is make preparations to visit Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not the time now, get a phone call from your friend, or come and let's go and quickly go and eat, or your relative, you've not seen him from India, he's also here, let's go and visit him first. No, You have come, you've paid thousands of pounds to connect with Allah, not to connect with people. And you are coming, you're coming in Medina, and the adab is that we have shauk to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have shauk to go and visit him. We've traveled that far to meet him. So the first thing that we do is we make preparations to visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have a bath. We put on our good clothes, we put on our iddah, and we present ourselves. And again, all the time, asking Allah and preparing yourself for who it is that you're going to meet, the best of all creation. The one who you owe the most favors to, even more than your parents. The most best of akhlaq, the most best, the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person, he gets ready to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with adab, Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, وَالْأَدَبُ هُوَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ. The adab, all of it is deen. All of it, the deen, all of it is adab. So we have to have this respect. Scholars of the past, they never walked with shoes in Medina out of respect for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That these, how can I walk with shoes in Medina when the same place has had the footsteps of my Nabi walking on this place? How can I have, you know, how can I disrespect? So we are going to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a person, he has a bath and then he leaves. Personally, myself, I like to go on my own. Obviously, if you've never been before, then you can go with friends. Because when you're on your own, then you can have that conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can have that conversation with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your dua that you might not get when you're with others. So whatever is easy for you, you've never been before, you might go with someone. Okay. So as you are leaving, I've heard from ulama, and it's in kitabs as well, that you should give some sadaqah before you go. You're purifying yourself. When you give sadaqah, you are giving some monetary money for the sake of Allah. And there is some link to a particular verse as well, that's mansukh, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not related to this. It's mansukh, it's no longer acted upon. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when some people, they were taking a lot of time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were causing harm to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, munafiq, they wanted to cause harm, so they would pretend to say to Nabi, we want to meet you in private, we want a private gathering. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he did was to prevent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being hurt and taking his time being taken up for trivial purposes. He said that when you want to visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give some sadaqah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha najaytumur rasul faqaddimu bayna yaday najwaakum sadaqah. That all you who believe, when you want a private meeting with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then give some sadaqah before you go. So this was revealed. Ali radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that he is the only one that acted upon this hadith before it became mansukh. He went and he gave one dinar and he visited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made this verse mansukh. Anyway, either way, we are visiting Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should give some money in sadaqah. And then as we are getting closer, we look and we see the green dome. Subhanallah. What a beautiful view. What a nurani manzar. When we see the Kaaba, how we feel, how spiritual we feel, and the du'as that are accepted. 120 blessings on the Kaaba every day. 60 for the ones that are doing tawaf, 40 for the ones that are praying salah, and 20 for the ones that are just looking at the Kaaba. Subhanallah. When we're in Kaaba, when we're in Makkah as well, try to, a person he mentioned that, he wrote a letter to his sheikh, and he mentioned that, I prayed a full Qur'an, whilst in Makkah, whilst my gaze was just on the Kaaba for the whole recitation. Subhanallah. There are people like this that are even living today that are doing these things. So, looking at the Kaaba, looking at the dome with muhabbah, this is an ibadah. There's no hadith about it, but we know, وَمَن يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوِي الْقُلُوبِ. And as soon as we see the green dome, we have emotions that hit us. They should be hitting us. So we see the green dome and we travel towards the masjid. And in the olden days, a person would enter the masjid and he would go to Riyadhul Jannah. But in this day and age, we don't have that opportunity unless a person has booked the Rawda. If you could ideally do that, that would be perfect. That as you are visiting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before you visit him, you're going to do the adab of the masjid, which is pray two rakah salatul Tahiyatul Masjid. So if you have an opportunity, I've never managed to do it. It'd probably be difficult, but as you enter in the masjid, before you visit the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you should pray two rakats Tahiyatul Masjid. Yeah. If you can do that in the Rawdah, then alhamdulillah. But usually a person won't have that opportunity. So what he will do, he will enter the... And also as well, it's recommended that when you visit Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you enter from Bab al-Jibreel, which is on the eastern side. There's only one entrance that you can go to give salam, either through Bab al-Jibreel or either if you've had the opportunity and you book your Rawdah, then after visiting the Rawdah, the police officers will give you an entrance into the hallway that leads to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there's only two ways you can actually give salam. Yeah. So through Bab al-Jibreel or through the Rawdah itself at the moment. In the past it was open, it was different. So a person, what he can do, rather than going to Bab al-Jibreel immediately, what he will do, will enter the masjid from another entrance. And obviously when you're entering the masjid, then a person, he needs to have the adab of the masjid. Yeah. Five adab of the masjid. As you enter, you pray, Bismillah, as-salatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah. Send durood upon the Prophet. Again, this is for every masjid, not just for Masjid al-Nabawi, but even more so for Masjid al-Nabawi, because we have more reverence for it. So, enter with the right foot. Bismillah, as-salatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah. Then pray the dua, Allahumma aftahli abwaab rahmati. Allah, open up the doors of your mercy for me. Then, Allahumma aghfirli, Allah, forgive me. Yeah. Then, you should have the niyyah for itikaf. That, oh Allah, I'm here to worship you only, and I'm here, my time here is for you. A person will get reward for this, etikaf, nafil etikaf. Okay? And then he should pray tahiyyah, tahiyyatul masjid. Yeah. We are going to give tahiyyah. What's the tahiyyah mean? Tahiyyah, what does it mean? It means greeting, salutation. Yeah. We are going to greet the messenger of Allah. But before we greet the messenger of Allah, we greet Allah. Tahiyyatul masjid is tahiyyatul rabbil masjid. It's greeting of the Rabb of the masjid. So whenever we enter a masjid, we pay respects to the masjid, but it's not the masjid that we're respecting, it's Allah's masjid. So we should, whenever we enter a masjid, we should pray two rakats tahiyyah. That's why when we pray at-tahiyyat, at-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wa-t-tayyibat, at-tahiyyat, all salutations and good words are for Allah. Was-salawat, and bodily actions, wa-t-tayyibat, and monetary monetary giving for Allah. Then what do we say after that? Assalamu alaikum ayyuhan nabiy wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah. And may peace be upon you, ayyuhan nabiy, or messenger. So before we give tahiyyah to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we give tahiyyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray to rakats tahiyyah al masjid. As long as it's not makruh time, by the way. If it's makruh time, then you can't pray at that time. Or if the namaz is, if the faraz namaz is about to start, then we enter the faraz. And by the way, even when you come to our own masajid, we should do that. And if we don't get chance for tahiyyah, then in the faraz, ulama mentioned that your tahiyyah is done anyway. Or if you're praying your sunnah, you're praying your four sunnah of dhuhr, if you make intention for tahiyyatul masjid, it will be done as well. Because there are other ulama like Imam Shafi that say it's more or less, as soon as you come in, it's necessary that you pray two rakats, because the command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that to the effect that when you come in the masjid, do not sit until you pray the two rakats. Khair, you enter the masjid, you pray two rakats, but what you might have to do is you might have to come out and then go to Bab al-Jibreel. So again, when you're going to go to Bab al-Jibreel, you won't get chance for two rakats tahiyyah there. You will not get chance for two rakats tahiyyah. The police officers will not let you pray there. Okay? Is the picture of Bab al-Jibreel? I think it is, because it was there last year. No. So you must have all seen Bab al-Jibreel. It's got the Turkish architecture. Okay. So a person as well, when he's entering, how many minutes have I got left? Okay. So a person, he goes towards the blessed grave of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and a person should be looking down. He should bring to mind the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and depending on where you are and the police officers, whether they let you go close to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's grave or whether you'd be on the second row, when you get close to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's grave, you face Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's row of the Qabr Mubarak. So your back will be facing the Kaaba. And then you will give salam to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When we're giving salam to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ulama mentioned that we should imagine and we should bring to our hearts that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is hearing my salam. Yeah. He can hear my salam, he can hear my voice, and he is also replying. Because he's alive in the grave. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, their opinion, and it's famous from many ahadith, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is alive in his grave. Once Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, that send abundant durood upon me on the night and day of Friday. And then Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he said that what about after you passed away? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, send abundant durood for the durood is presented to me. So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Darda, he said that what about after you pass away? He goes, even after I pass away, to the effect. So Abu Darda said, will your bones not have decayed? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Inna Allaha hurrima ala al-ard an ya'kula ajsad al-anbiya. Allah SWT has made it haram for the earth that it eats up and it decays the bodies of the prophets. The prophets are given risk in their grave. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to reply. And what words of salam do we use? In the kitabs we find the salam, the different salams you can give. I'm just going to mention one here that is in the kitab. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. May salam be upon you, O Messenger of Allah. As-salamu alayka ya Habib Allah. As-salamu alayka ya khayr khalqillah. So all the titles of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May salam be upon you, O the most beloved of Allah. And there's 5 or 6 titles. I'm not going to mention all of them. And As-salamu alayka ayyuhan Nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you don't remember any of them, try to remember this one because you pray in tashahud anyway. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tawibat. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan Nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan Nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. One of the sahaba, he mentioned, I think it was Ibn Umar, this is the salam he used to give. Short and sweet. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan Nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then ulama mentioned as well, you can add the words, Ya Rasulullah, Inni ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu annaka abduhu wa rasuluh. That, O Messenger of Allah, I bear witness that there is no God but you, there is no God but Allah. He is alone, he doesn't have any partners, and I also bear witness that you are his slave and his messenger. Ulama mentioned that now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is alive in his grave, he's hearing you, he will bear witness on the day of judgment that you testify to the oneness of Allah. Just like the Hajar al-Aswad in Makkah, when we go back home, when we come back home from Hajj, we take back 2 witnesses. One Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is our witness that we visited him. So that's when we say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah in front of him. Yeah, and also Hajar al-Aswad, there's a hadith that Allah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions to the effect that on the day of judgment, Hajar al-Aswad will be brought in front of the people and it will have 2 eyes and it will have a tongue. And it will testify to all of those people that did istilam to it with the truth. So when we go back home on the day of judgment, we'll have 2 witnesses inshallah. So we say, As-salamu alayka, Ya Rasulullah, Inni ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdah la sharika lah, wa ashhadu annaka abduhu wa rasuluh. And then, ulama have mentioned as well, a famous reply from the Sahaba. When the Sahaba in Hajjatul Wida, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he, in front of 100,000, 124,000 Sahaba, he says to the effect, that hal ballaghta, have I conveyed the message to you? And all of the sahaba, they said na'am. That O Messenger of Allah, we bear witness qad ballaghta risalata, that you have conveyed your message, wa addayta al-amana, and that you fulfilled your amana, wa nasahta al-umma, and you have given good advice to the ummah, wa kashafta al-ghumma, and that you have removed all the unknowns. So a person, if he wishes, then he can add the same words the Sahaba replied with. Because when the Sahaba replied with these words, the Messenger of Allah got very happy. Yeah, and Allah, the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad. Oh Allah, you be my witness that the Sahaba has witnessed that I've I've given you a message. So a person can add, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهِ وَأَدَّيْتَ الْأَمَانَةِ وَنَصَحْتَ الْأَمَانَةِ وَكَشَّفَ الْغُمَّةِ. And then you can ask. Again, you will not be able to put your hands up for dua. So a person, he can make dua while his hands are down. And he can make dua in his heart, the old messenger of Allah, I ask for your, on the day of judgment, intercede for me. There's words in Arabic, but I won't have time to go over it. There is the Arabic, old messenger of Allah. Yeah, I ask you that on the day of judgment, then intercede for me. And also as well, there's a Quranic ayat mentioning at the time of the Sahaba, there's a Quranic ayat, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرْ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَّحِيمًا. That at the time of the Sahaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this verse, that if the Sahaba, if they come to you, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا, when the Sahaba have wronged themselves and they come to you, and they want forgiveness from Allah, فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرْ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ, and then the messenger does istighfar for them, لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَّحِيمًا, then you would find Allah most accepting of repentance and the most merciful. So Mufti Shafi, rahmatullah alayh, in Ma'arif al-Quran, he mentions in this verse, that even though this verse was specific to the time of the Sahaba, because there's no qaid and there's no restriction in the words of the Quran, even today, if we were to go and present, if we were to ask the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to ask forgiveness on our behalf, then it's guaranteed that Allah will forgive us. So also, when we're asking for shafa'ah, we also ask for the Prophet to forgive us. And then after that, there's Arabic as well. If somebody has asked you to give salam on their behalf, then you can pass on the salam. Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah min fulan ibn fulan. Yastafshi'u bika ila rabbik. And if you don't remember the names, then there's another dua as well. There's some other words to say. So like this, a person, he will give salam to the Prophet ﷺ, and then he will move to the right-hand side, and he will give salam to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and then a little bit more to the right, and give salam to Umar radiallahu anhu. And as soon as he finishes, when he leaves, this is an opportunity also for dua. A person should make dua for his friends, for his family, for the ummah. Again, if you go outside and you start raising your hands, sometimes the police officers, they do get funny. So you can just make dua with your hands down. That's no problem at all. So this is how you would do salam. I don't think I've got the opportunity to mention the other places of sunnah to visit is Baqi, Uhud, and Masjid al-Quba. Yeah. If you can get a chance to visit Baqi, the cemetery, 100,000 Sahaba, 10,000 Sahaba are buried there, along with Uthman radiallahu anhu. Yeah, we should visit Baqi, and we should also visit Uhud, Mount Uhud, and the martyrs of Uhud. Yeah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to visit there regularly and make dua for the shuhada, especially Hamza radiallahu anhu. And we should remember the sacrifices that were given by our Sahaba there. And also Masjid al-Quba, a person, it's about 2 miles away, there's a little walkway that they've made. If a person goes there and he prays 2 rakat salah there, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that a person will get the reward of Umrah. And the final words that I can give you are that a person that prays a salah in Masjid al-Nabawi, that it's mentioned in one hadith that it's 1,000 times more reward. In another hadith it's mentioned that it's 50,000 times more reward. So a person should not miss any salah in Masjid al-Nabawi whilst in Medina. And also as well, there's another hadith that says if a person prays 40 salah without missing any, then he will in Medina, then he will get freedom from Jahannam and also freedom from Nifaq. So a person, whilst he's there, plenty of tilawat of Quran. We should try to do one tilawah, full Quran in Makkah, one full tilawah in Medina if possible. And be good to the inhabitants when we're shopping as well, be good to the people of Medina. And like this, our time will pass. We don't have time to go over any more details, inshallah.
So, Barakallah. Sorry, Mawlana, I give you actually extra time. But mashallah, Allah Pak accept. Maybe next time we'll make a separate session from Medina Munawwara. Any questions on the Ziyarah Medina Munawwara before we go on to the last 5-10 minutes? Any questions? No? Okay, so alhamdulillah, we've now come towards the conclusion of the majlis. Just going to go through two three more slides. I've not had a chance to slide this one, so we'll sorry, translate this slide, but we'll go through it. It's taken from Imam Ghazali's Ihya. Sheikh Salim Durad Sahib's put it in his new Urdu Kitab. What are the signs of an accepted Hajj? Okay. Inshallah, we hope that our Hajj is accepted regardless whether we see any signs, but sometimes you can get some indication. So he says, number one, insan pichli zindagi mein jo guna karta tha, unhe chhod de. So somebody comes back from Hajj, and if he had a habit of doing certain sins, he now has the ability to not return and not continue. Number two, bure doston se kinara kash hokar nek logo ki dosti kare. Your social circle changes. Okay. So now rather than saying, you know, he's hanging around with X and Y, he starts associating himself with people that are pious. Okay. Again, what your concept of piety is might be different to mine. But largely speaking, okay, anybody that brings you, or any company that brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you or expects you or hopes you to do in light of the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that company which will stop you from doing anything negative. Number three, tafree aur ghaflat ki majalis ko chhod kar zikr aur dini bedari ki majalis ikhtiyar kare. So has want to attend gatherings changes from those ones that are a complete waste of time, okay, at least in the worldly sense, if not in the ukhrawi sense, or perhaps even sinful, to those gatherings where, you know, again, he's associated with people of zikr, people that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah? So no time for Champions League. Next, number four, dunya se be-raghbat hokar akhirat ki taraf mutawajjih ho jaye. That when you hang around with these people, their mind starts to think, you know what, why am I doing this? I should do this instead, because this is what's more beneficial for me and the akhirat. And it goes without saying, males and females, nowadays, unless you're with somebody and you're humble enough to accept to be told off, to say, look, why are you doing this? This is going to get you nothing in the akhirat. You should do this instead. This will get you more reward. And it happens in every walk of life. Number five, finally, Maulana quotes, Kaaba ki ziyarat ke baad, Rabbe Kaaba ki mulaqat ki tiyari mashghool rahe. That he then starts to live a life, but now that he's seeing the Kaaba, he starts preparing to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which of course is reserved for most, inshallah, in the hereafter. Okay? So these are just some signs. So finishing off, maintaining sincerity, like I mentioned, when you come back, no need to labor out the negative points. Speak about the positives so you encourage people to go for Hajj. Okay? No need to boast. Okay? Remember Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I mentioned at the beginning that, you know, Hajj was a Hajj, not of boasting, not of ostentatious matters, not of fame. Alhamdulillah, so maintain that sincerity when you come back. Hajj is an act of worship. One can learn and try to perfect all acts during Hajj, but ultimately, at the end of this act of ibadat, one should feel more inclined towards the daily religious duties which are now to follow. So Hajj is Hajj, okay? You need to come back and you'll have the same company, the same house, the same streets, the same life. Perhaps there's a masjid that you didn't attend as much that you should start attending. Or finally, keep connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Align yourself with those people that will give you genuine guidance about what to do next in life, or just hang about with them and you'll learn yourself by watching closely. Realize your potential in life beyond your family, work, hobbies and trials. Again, I always encourage all the Hajj satis that if you don't have some form of dini khidmat in life, whether that's in the graveyard, whether that's in the masjid, whether it's in a madrasa, come to me, I've got plenty for you guys to do, okay? But nobody really comes to me, maybe because I'm not worthy, or maybe you already have, mashallah, great khidmat that you're already doing. And finally, please do not forget us and your dua. And Mawli Ahmad, this one's for you. Especially for you. This one's especially for you, this slide. For those that are not going for Hajj, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعِ الْوَصُولَ لِلْبَيْتِ حَرَامٌ لِأَنَّهُ مِنْهُ بَعِيدٌ فَلْيَقْصِدْ رَبَّ الْبَيْتِ فَإِنَّهُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. That if Kaaba's too far, Remember, you went to Kaaba to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's closer to you than your jugular vein anyway. Okay? So remember that, inshallah, for whatever reason, if your Hajj plans don't work out, Allah Pak take us all, last minute issues, or you don't have a visa, or your visa's stuck, like mine, make dua, inshallah, then this is what we live off, according to Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah. So once again, there's an email address there if you want to take a picture of it, if you've got anything else. There's a few groups, sorry if the links don't work, just post on the Al-Falah group if there's been any changes to any of the links. And that's it. Closing comments. I'm still hanging around here for as long as for a few moments that you guys, if you want to have to discuss anything private. Mona Ali Asab is here. Fazal Mama is in the corner for all Gujarati speakers, native Gujarati speakers, mashallah. And we also have Suhail at the back still standing in his black jubba like Superman. Take it, inshallah, if you have any other issues that you want to discuss. So subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallah wa bihamdik, la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Fazal Mama, you were supposed to do the dua, yaar. Hazrat Yudar Bazurg, nein, Hazrat, yaar, because you don't go and aapki dard jyada dard hai. We don't do qadr because we go more often. Aao jao, jaldi karo. Any other questions before we just finish with the dua? Ji. Can you use? Oh, kachi on sa? Compete, is that drug? Huh? Okay, but if he's got a blister, he can use it, no? Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, it's like a plaster, yeah? Yeah. So like a plaster, you can use it, but if it's like a plaster, you just have to make sure when you're doing wudu, you know, you pass your hand over it.
No, I'll see on the floor, Malala. The Rusari Panabai Sabsati. Bismillahi Rahman Rahim, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka Hamidum Majid. Ya Allah, Ya Ghafur Rahim, Ya Hayyul Ya Qayyum, Ya Rahman Rahim, Ya Rahman Rahimin, Ya Allah, tamam haziyon ki hazko asan farma, kabul farma, Ya Allah, jis sathiyon ne hamari jo team hai yahan Masjid Al Falah mein, Masjid Zakariya mein, ya jahan kahin bhi haj ke program kiye hain, hamare tamam sathiyon ko bhi Allah tu kabul farma. Ya Allah, jitne bhi haji is saal haj mein ja rahe hain, tamam hajiyon ki haj ko aasan farma de, kabul farma de. Aur ya Allah, hum sab ko bar bar haj umre naseeb farma. Ya Allah, puri musliman ummat ki Allah tu hifazat farma de. Ya Allah, jahan kahin bhi musalmanon ke upar na haq zulm ho rahe hain, ya Allah, is zulm karne walon ki Allah to hidayat naseeb farma de. Inki taqdeer mein hidayat nahi hai to ya Allah, tu is zameen ko paak aur saaf farma de. Ya Allah, hame maangna nahi aata to bhi maange ata farma de. Hamari sab ki har ek bhi jaiz tamannaon ko, muradon ko, jaiz hazron ko puri farma de. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azaban nar. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, ni'mal maula wa ni'mal nasir. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnatin nisa wa a'udhu bika min azabul qabr. Ya wasi'al fadli ighfir li, Allahumma hasibna hisaban yaseera. Allahumma ajirni minan nar. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.